If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ready to get this party going on?
Have I had sex with anyone in this room tonight?
No!
You sure about this? Fine, good. Resume party.
Anybody mind if I take off my pants?
Son, you got a panty on your head.
If you could give me a pearl necklace tonight, I really need one.
Let's get this party started.
A penis, when seen in the right context, is the most wonderful sight for a woman. But in the wrong context, it is like a monster movie.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon.
And now,
balls. Balls.
What balls this man has?
Balls. Balls.
My balls are no longer proportionate to my wang.
Balls. Balls.
I want to be kicked in the balls.
Our feature presentation.
Kevin.
That was out of context a little.
No. What are you talking about?
None of those others were, though.
No. It's Paul Moyer, by the way. Channel 4 News saying balls.
Isn't that the best?
That just kills us. Wouldn't our lives be empty without Paul Moyer?
Yes.
No.
No,
I mean,
they
yes.
would.
Mine
would
be.
It would be very sad.
It would be a very sad world if Paul Moyer weren't out there being a jackass. Absolutely. And saying ridiculous things and smug looks. And he really provides a tremendous amount of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
He is the most consistently funny entertainer in show business.
Yes, yes. And I'm not talking anything having to do with news. Who cares where you get your news? I'm talking about Paul Moyer and his entertainment.
Yes.
Right.
He rules.
Speaking of Channel 4, my life would be empty and not worth living if it weren't for the hot, big-boobed weather chick on the Channel 4 Today Show. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
And it's awesome because she's on like 10 times during the hour they go to her for weather.
Right. You know,
which is just, it's hard to concentrate on our show sometimes when she's on at the same time.
Well, Bean says, go to Channel 4, go to Channel 4, but there's some kind of a delay between
yes.
he and us. And when we go, it's a commercial or something
we
else.
We never see it.
We say,
so annoying.
Stop telling us to go to Channel 4. Just stop it.
Well, Mike has seen her, and
oh,
he
yeah.
will vouch for me.
Mike?
She's the deal.
Yeah. Alita Laresca. Yeah.
Hey!
She deserves our attention.
All right.
She does. She's the best.
So what does she do when she's doing the weather? Does she dance or pose, or does she just point at a map?
She just puts them on TV is what
right.
she does.
She put them on the glass?
She essentially puts them on the glass.
Okay.
She's fantastic.
Because she got big-ass boobies.
Right, exactly. That's
that
what
she
saying.
Does. Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, and it's the 19th of February. So remember when Lightning put those cones in front of my car the other morning?
Yes.
The parking cones?
Yes.
He,
and you rolled right over them.
Blocking my way into the station, and I ran over him just to be funny, because I thought it would be funny. And one of them got stuck up underneath my car. And for
right.
some reason, Lightning thought that was interesting enough to put video on the online, which I still don't get. This morning, Lisa's coming up, same place, and I was already in, so I grabbed a cone. You know, I'm in her headlight. She's pointing her headlights right at me, so to speak, as she was getting her key card out. And I bring one of those cones over and set it right in front of her car. And she mows it down. And I was like, wow, I didn't think Lisa would do that. That's funny.
And then she stops the car rolls down the window and says, what did you do?
Did you put
a cone under my car?
I don't know. 15 seconds later, it's dragging the cone. And she says, what did you do? And I can't figure out for the life of me how it's possible she didn't see me.
I saw you. I didn't see the cone. Because you come in at an angle. You're pointed up.
Not
so
that
I couldn't
much.
See below your waist.
Oh.
Which, trust
yeah.
me, is very disappointing.
That's a waste anyway.
First thing in the morning.
A giant red cone you can't see?
No.
Is it because you're really short? And you're looking up like through the steering wheel, kind of over the dashboard? Is that it?
Not a midget.
I do not understand how it is even possible that you didn't see me put the cone there.
I didn't see you put the cone there. I don't know. I didn't see it. What do you want me to tell you?
Unless you're turned around looking back at the street or something.
No.
You're a midget.
She was telling me that as she came in that she ran over the cone. I said, well, how did you not see it? She said, well, because we're on an incline as we're coming in. But
yeah.
I'm thinking, Lisa, does not drive a high car. I mean, no. Her car is pretty low to the ground. I still don't get how she could miss.
And it's not like it's 70-degree incline. It's
right.
Just
also, you guys need to understand out there that these are not small cones.
Right.
These are not, these are not like AYSO soccer pickup game cones. These are monster traffic cones.
Yeah, these go about up to my waist.
I had a backup so he could unjam it from my car.
I tried to pull it out. Hey, that's what she said. I tried to pull it out, and then I had to crawl into the front of the car, and then I had to have her back up.
Then I stepped in to roll forward.
I was like, what the hell? She mowed it. As soon as you ran over it, I thought, Lisa's got a great sense of humor. That's funny. And then, I hear, what did you do? Unbelievable.
Lisa sounds like she's about 6 months away from mowing down some people at the farmer's market.
Exactly. I don't have any idea how she couldn't. I don't think it's possible that she couldn't have seen me.
I meant to hit the brake, but I hit the gas. That's what happened.
That's what's going to happen. We're gonna
it
have
always
to take,
happens.
Going to have to take your license away, Lisa. Sorry.
Speaking of driving and cones, I heard Mike just ahead of going on talking about the Daytona 500 yesterday, which I also watched a great deal of yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Well, I knew we were going to have the winner of the Daytona 500 on, and I confess to complete ignorance when it comes to NASCAR events. I don't really haven't spent much time with them, don't really know much about how it works, and I thought it would be a good one to watch because it was the 50th running of the Daytona 500. So they did a lot of historical stuff. They had a lot of interviews with past winners, a lot of footage from past races, and it was really like the best introductory race. But, Mike, it doesn't sound like you had very much of a good time watching it.
F NASCAR!
Why? You had that event where you were watching TV.
The event was cool. It was everybody was really nice, and it was a fun event. But that was my first time ever watching a race from beginning to end as well. F that sport.
Why?
It's 500 laps. Listen, 500 laps, okay? No one made a peep. No one gave a crap about it until the last 30 seconds of the last lap. Now everybody's completely silent for 6 hours watching these cars. Heads going around and around.
But, Mike, that's pretty accurate for most sports. The last 30 seconds of a football game, the last out at a baseball game. I mean, that's where it all matters. But you got to go through the rest of it to get to that point.
I'm perfectly willing.
Got to set the table.
I'm perfectly willing to admit, as a baseball fan, that it may not be the most entertaining spectator sport.
You
but
think?
At least throughout the game, when a guy gets a hit off the wall, banks one off the wall, or there's an interesting – people cheer for strikeouts. I'm talking silent.
Oh, you mean from the crowd there?
Yeah.
1,000 people showed up, and they're just hypnotized by this screen watching the race. Silent for 5.5 hours. Then, I don't know, 18 seconds left in the race. Woo! All right, let's go. Pull it out.
Well, it sounds like your problem was with the crowd, not with the event.
Right.
These are the most intense NASCAR fans out there, and they still didn't make up. There's no it's completely you know what? NASCAR would be awesome if it was 20 laps. If it was a 20-lap race, it was a 50, it was the Daytona 50, it would be a dope sport.
It's too long.
500 laps and no listen, the guy who won was in 7th place the whole race until the last lap. He said, time to go. Time to pull it together.
Well, that's pretty impressive in the last lap.
That's strategy, though. That's strategy. But, I mean, what about, you know, when you get into that final couple of minutes and you got a guy like Dale Earnhardt Jr. who's still very much in the thing, and boom, his car just, he's out. You know, 1 second he's in contention to win the thing, the next second it's over for him, you know, because his car crapped out. I mean, stuff like that was happening along the way. People were dropping off. Leads were, I mean, the lead must have changed 80 times in that race.
The lead changed 80 times in the, I guess it's 200 laps, it's 500 miles. The lead changed a lot, and no one can tell because they're a foot apart the entire time. Who cares if the lead changes when every car is 16 inches apart?
All right, let me clarify. That's what makes it interesting is that they're that close. Let me just qualify, though. You're not talking about the fans that were at the race. You're talking about the fans that were with you.
Yes.
Okay. So the Southern California fans that were sitting in a room watching a TV, watching NASCAR.
Outdoor, there was a huge, like, big screen, and it was like this big NASCAR event, and the event itself was pretty cool. And these people love NASCAR, love. And
so what's wrong with them just watching it and concentrating or whatever? What's the...
Because there's nothing to cheer for. You know what I'm saying? It's like people watching a marathon going, all right, woo! Yeah! Because it's a long, drawn-out BS sport that, you know what I'm saying? There's no action.
Well, the marathon is not interesting to watch.
It's
That's
the same
true.
Thing.
That
and
is
it,
true.
And my hat's off to the people who race these cars because it takes a tremendous amount of endurance and there's a lot of skill involved, I'm sure. But F that to watch.
You know what it is? Let me see if I can summarize because Omar just whispered in my ear exactly what it is. Is that you don't drink and you need to.
Yeah.
You need to start drinking. That's your answer.
I guess.
Because then you like anything.
No, that's true.
I had chocolate milk, I think, during the race, but I was really impressed, having never watched it before, with seeing, you know, being able to hear the actual drivers while they're driving, you know, talking back and forth to the pit crew and stuff. There was a lot of interesting stuff from a television perspective, but I don't know that I would have enjoyed it in person. I don't think I would have wanted to be one of the 200,000 people that were there watching it in person.
I'll tell you, I've been to NASCAR events and racing events, and it is really fun to watch in person. I was shocked the first time. I think it was the Long Beach Grand Prix when I went. Not NASCAR, but the Long Beach Grand Prix when I went. And that was really fun. It was really exciting and people going by. So I can see that, but I think you're asking for a little bit of trouble by gathering 1,000 people to watch it on TV. It's not really the same. You know what I mean?
Like,
But if
you weren't drinking,
if you gathered 1,000 people to watch the World Series, the NBA Finals, or Super Bowl on TV, there it would be a big party because the game has things going on in it. There was like two
plenty
crashes
going on. You just don't understand.
There was like two crashes, and they weren't even dope. Like, I wanted to see guys fly.
No one died. There no
should,
fire.
They should give them little like Derringer pistols or like like those handheld shotguns that Mad Max had, and they could be able to buck each other's tires off. That would be dope.
They should wait till they go by and then put cones across the track.
Yeah,
and just see them try and
swerve.
Put
them on an incline. People go, I couldn't see it.
Well, we are going to have the winner of the Daytona 500, whose name, by the way, I think was Ryan Newman, and his hot wife. We're going to have Ryan on later in the week, I think, because they're all now heading out to California. I think they've got a race maybe in Fontana or something this weekend. So that'll be coming up later this week on the Kevin and Bean
Mike,
Show.
You want to watch it on TV?
I enjoyed it.
No.
No? All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have Bob Saget in the studio.
Oh, great.
Talking about some stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
When I want to laugh, I'll take Bob Saget. Thank you very much.
As will I. We're going to announce K-Rock's World Tour, destination number 7. Great band, great location.
Really?
A location I've always wanted to go to.
Interesting.
So that's coming up at 7:15 this morning. We're going to talk to a guy who was a sound mixer. He has been nominated for his 20th Oscar.
Dude, he must have won a dozen of them by now, I would imagine.
Which is really amazing considering he's been blanked out. He's gotten none. No wins. 0-19.
How that exciting just says to me, is it, the 20th
He's not very good, is what that says to me.
He's barely making it, but he's nominated again, so we'll talk to him. Today we're going to give you an iTunes gift certificate for free 106.7 songs.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. You have to earn them, though, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
We have Kat Von D in the studio with us. Talking about her Musinc concert. Talked to her in the 9 o'clock hour this morning, and we're going to talk about conspiracy theories. Today, because Beer Mug, our intern, is out of his freaking mind, and he's been obsessed with the JFK assassination.
He just discovered that whole conspiracy theory,
which is odd to me considering it's 2008. But then what happened yesterday? They released a bunch of papers or something, Bean?
Yeah, a bunch of papers that have been in a safe that the previous directors of that assassination museum or whatever they call it have chosen not to release, and now they have, and it points towards some sort of potential conspiracy between Lee Harvey Oswald and Jack Ruby. Oswald, the man who shot the president. Ruby, the man who shot Oswald.
Right.
But there's some question as to how authentic those documents are. But everybody, I mean, the newspaper that broke this story, their website crashed all weekend long from people trying to get
at
this paperwork. So there is still a great deal of interest out there about the case.
But this couldn't encourage Beer Mug, right?
I mean, yes. I think this is all Beer Mug needed to make him go full-time, like crazy, looking into this for the rest of his life.
That is not good.
Hey, guys. It's Beer Mug. And I realized something. Mm-hmm. I am terrible at life when I'm sober.
Yeah.
Sobriety is my kryptonite.
Yeah.
This is a mess.
All right. Anyway, he'll be in. Plus,
that's
we got
the guy. That's the guy who's going to crack it, man. That's the guy right there. He's the one that America looks to solve this mystery.
He's the sharp mind that's going to dig right through all
that's
the
right. Ralph is here with our first look at the showbiz for the week. What's going on, Ralph?
By the way, mad props to Psycho Mike. I'm calling BS on NASCAR, by the way.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's just
pointless. You didn't go to the event, did you?
No. Okay. But I was flipping around and I was catching pieces. I said, wow, this is just pointless. This is a bad race.
I like
what do you
it.
Think is the phenomenal success of that sport, Ralph? Where's that coming from?
Rednecks drinking beer outdoors.
200,000 of them.
Yeah. Well, what do you think the magical
I don't know.
Success? Is?
I don't know. I mean,
but you
watched
it. They go round and round. Unless somebody crashes, there's nothing to look at until the last 30 seconds, and that's when it gets exciting.
Well, I think there's strategy involved. I mean, there are, you know, there's a guy a couple years ago who won from being like 40th back. I mean, I think that takes, you know, dedication and skill. I think there are some nuances to look for if you're familiar with the sport. I'm not. It went over my head, but I'm sure people who watch it all the time saw a lot about that race to like.
guy who was the one was what, seventh, you said, Psycho?
Yeah. Almost
the whole
like
race, he was seventh.
Yeah.
Then he guns it, puts the pedal to the metal, and then boom, he wins.
But I think one of his teammates, one of the other Penske drivers, like helped push him across, like
right.
blocked another dude.
Shake and
bake
the
right
car
and
pushed him across.
Shake and
now
bake.
That would be exciting.
Another BS part of NASCAR is that they're supposed to be racing individually, but they're all teammates. Okay, so imagine if like Dr. Buss bought the Grizzlies. And then he's like, you know what,
Why don't you throw the game tonight?
Yeah, and then he bought the Grizzlies, too, and he's like, yeah, it looks like you guys are eighth back. Let's give the Lakers some of your players for tonight, and then, Kobe can go play for the Grizzlies tomorrow. It's BS. You can't do that.
Yeah.
How is that cool?
Yes, Lightning.
It's not cool. That's what I'm saying.
It's a sport where you've got to follow all of the races. I mean, you can't just look at it. You guys just tuned into one race. I mean, I couldn't just tune into one Monday Night Football and go, ooh, I love this all of a sudden.
Yes, you could, because football is exciting. The game from start to finish,
guys,
things happen that are exciting.
I've watched football, and it's not all. And hockey, I mean, it can go
even
a whole
better,
game
right.
is 1 point. That's not exciting.
But knowing the players makes it so much better.
It does. No, but there's a difference between knowing the players and just the action of the sport. Hockey is an action-filled sport, regardless whether you know anybody who's on the ice or not. Football, the same thing. There's interceptions, there's passing, there's running, there's collisions, there's stuff going on each and every play.
I have been to hockey games that have bored me stiff, and I'm a hockey fan. But
obviously.
I enjoy going.
Worst hockey game ever. Couldn't bore you stiff. Worst one ever. Couldn't bore you.
That's not true at all.
It's absolutely true.
That's not true.
All right. Get out.
Get out.
I think one time we were talking about baseball, and Ralph and I hate baseball. And Bean said, I think from the baseball perspective, it's the build of the game. It all builds slowly, and it all makes the end what it is, blah, blah, blah. I'm guessing that's the same with NASCAR. There's little stuff you don't notice if you're not watching closely or you don't know. And I don't know.
Because I will tell you, if you're not a baseball fan, you're sitting there watching a 13-pitch at-bat. It can bore you to tears. But if you're into the game, there's so much strategy involved in every time the pitcher throws the ball. Anything can happen. And that's, you're on the edge of the seat sometimes for an at-bat like that.
No, not
baseball. Even baseball, like I said, which I can admit is not the best spectator sport, there's still variety to the game going on within the game. You know what I'm saying? There is strikeouts and hits and pop-outs and ground-outs and double plays and stealing and stuff going on. There was
anything can happen at any given moment.
200 laps of guys going in the same direction for this race. That's what happened.
Somebody should have turned and gone the other way.
Yes.
That would have really spiced things up.
That's
what
I'm talking
about.
Now you got something going on.
You know what? Put a guy on the track. You want to add something to NASCAR? Put a guy on the track in like a big padded suit of armor or something. He's got to try to dodge the cars. I mean, add something.
Figure eights.
Make it interesting.
If they were
eights.
Running figure eights, it would be way cooler.
See, absolutely.
That would be cool. I agree.
Put somebody on the track.
Come on. Spice the thing up. It's the 21st
Make Eddie Murphy
century.
Run across the track.
Exactly.
But you'd need backup guys for that because one of them would just get crushed.
I bet there's rodeo clowns out there who need work. Come on, for God's sakes. Hey, there's my two bits. Hey, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we?
All right.
Okay.
Big, big breakthrough in technology today regarding show business.
Yeah.
Toshiba has put up a white flag of surrender. Handing over all the high-definition DVD business to Sony's Blu-ray technology.
Finally.
So no longer is there going to be a battle between which of the technologies will survive. We now know it's going to be Blu-ray, and everyone else can just go home.
So that happened.
Yeah. Because for a while there was like Beta and VHS.
It was.
They were trying to buy for the technology that what the majority of films was going to be produced on in terms of your high-definition DVDs, and Toshiba finally surrendered.
I'd check Blu-ray for some of my favorite movies, and they wouldn't be there. And then you'd go over and find that they're only on HD DVD, and you'd go,
Well, that was
man.
The contractual agreement that Toshiba had with several of the major movie studios, Warner Brothers, Paramount, and some others, so you wouldn't be able to find all of the films on one technology. So
now
that it's over, everyone will switch to Blu-ray, and it'll be a lot easier for us, the consumer.
So often in a technology war like this, both companies stick it out and both lose money. I mean, look at satellite radio, for instance. XM loses tons of money. Sirius loses tons of money. Yeah. There's just not room for two of them. Eventually, somebody's got to win so that company can be profitable.
Didn't they merge, didn't they? I don't know much about satellite radio.
Trying to.
Yeah, didn't they
Haven't yet.
Put it all together? I want to thank everyone over the weekend, all the K-Rock listeners. God bless you for thinking of me. But I just want to let you know I have received the Lindsay Lohan as Marilyn Monroe photos. Got those. Thank you so much.
Ralph at KRock.com.
No. Got them.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you have them.
In case you don't know what I'm talking about, New York Magazine has a photo shoot with Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Reenacting one of Marilyn Monroe's most famous photo shoots, her final photo shoot before she died a few weeks afterwards. And she's wearing a blonde wig, and she's got the same pink scarf. And you get to see her voluminous cans all over the place. She looks good.
Yes, she does.
Is this money? She needs the money? Is that what it is, Ralph? Or do you think there's some artistic reason?
I know she's a big Marilyn Monroe fan, and I think they appealed to that of hers when they said, would you like to recreate the erotic photo shoot that Marilyn did? And I think she thinks it's very artsy-fartsy, and I'm all for whatever she
thinks. Boobies!
Balls.
What?
No.
No, she doesn't have boobies.
I gotta look at those photos again, I guess.
She is topless in those photos, though, and it's pretty good.
She's great. Sure is. And they're real, too. Mother effers. She's freaking too. Like the
King was so happy yesterday, man. He was texting me. I thought he was going to explode.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, it's a visual. I really don't know.
I didn't think
physically. I've been.
Oh. Charlize Theron's plans for Oscar night?
Yes.
Kicking back in her PJs, watching on the television.
With you, Ralph?
Or? Yep. Yeah. I'm going to make her some popcorn, and I'm going to butter it.
You're going to put butter on the popcorn, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. She told People magazine she doesn't think people should attend unless you're nominated. Well, that would be a small crowd, wouldn't it?
No kidding.
She says she's not planning on attending the ceremony, and she's going to kick back and just watch at home like everyone else.
Is that her way of complaining that they did not ask her to be a presenter?
It
doesn't seem like she's that way.
I'm sure if she had RSVP'd that she was going to be there, they would have had her present something. But, yeah, I guess she just feels like it's not up. But I thought she'd be there at least to support her her buddy Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they work together. So.
You know, she's going to watch it and go, these are too long.
Yeah, exactly. I bet it's a lot more entertaining when you're there, Charlize, than when you're watching on television. We'll have to wait and see. Minnie Driver could be jumping aboard the Hollywood baby train. New York Post gossip column reports that she was spotted looking at a sonogram pictures outside a doctor's office and then called her boyfriend and had a conversation about getting some blood work done. Her representatives won't comment on the matter, but rumor has it that she could be with child, which would make The Riches very interesting if you're watching that over on FX. Yes. That's a real good show. Speaking of romance, Juliana DePandy, do you know her from E?
Oh, yeah. I know the name.
She is married to Bill Rancic, who is the guy who first won The Apprentice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, they had a rough honeymoon. They told OK Magazine while they were vacationing in the Grand Cayman Island on their honeymoon, they hiked 6 miles a day, sailed, and lifted weights.
Yeah.
What?
Well, what kind of honeymoon is that?
Sucky one.
Getting ready for the Ironman competition?
Apparently. They said they're healthier now than when they left.
Oh, jeez.
That's not the goal.
Screw you. Worst honeymoon ever.
No kidding.
Come on, honey. I know it's 4 and it's still dark outside, but let's run.
Grab the parasail. We're going to the island, then we're going to do a hike, and then we're going to swim back.
I thought drinking and banging are the only two things you're allowed to do on your honeymoon.
That's what I'm talking about. Did you see Us Weekly's magazine's report on Eli Manning?
No. Mm-mm. Retarded?
Yeah. He's been engaged for about a year, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's retired.
It finally came out.
Anyway, they did a big story about the two of them and how happy they are, and they probably get married sometime in the next couple months. You can see Eli take his vows with his longtime girlfriend, Abby McGrew. Apparently, she says the sweetest part of Eli is when she has to cut his food and wipe his chin.
Oh.
And sometimes he needs help tightening his helmet, not the one he wears on the football
field. Oh, it's a different one. Okay.
It's a different helmet. He just walks around. Britney Spears is slowly getting better and better, if you believe her friends and family.
I hope so. I didn't want that to end that badly.
Apparently, according to her mom, she is hasn't talked in a British accent in some time.
Well, that's good news.
Your mom should not have to make that statement.
No, she's just using the one voice now. It's excellent. Everything's turning out great. So
that girl's fat.
And Natalie Portman has announced she does not believe in marriage.
Yeah. Okay.
She won't be getting married anytime soon. She says, I'm into monogamy, but I'm not really into marriage. I sort of hate the legal aspect of it. What does the state have to do with it? Okay, listen, all you people who believe, oh, it's just a piece of paper, it doesn't matter. It matters. Just do it. Just shut up and do it. Just find somebody you love and then just marry.
Why do you care?
That's the way it works.
I know.
Because that's the way it works. Oh, we don't need, I don't want the government in my plans. I don't want them in my relationship, man.
He used to say people shouldn't get married and know it or smart.
I know.
No, I said people
shouldn't get married just to get married, just to accomplish that in their lives.
Right.
But if you find somebody you love and you want to spend the rest of your life with, then just get married.
Okay. It's Ralph ridiculous. Says just get married, people.
All right.
Oh, and I don't want the state in my affairs, man. It's just a piece of paper. I don't want the man being all legal in my up my grill, man. Shut up. Just get married. That's the way the world works. Just do it.
And shut up about it.
Madness. Today's celebrity birthday is Jeff Daniels. You know him.
Yes.
Great actor. Dumb and Dumber.
Sure.
A million other films. Terms of Endearment.
You know how to get my attention.
That's right. I led with it. Something you'd recognize right away. He is 53 years old today. Justine Bateman. You remember her from Family Ties? Played Mallory. Yeah. Mallory. She's 42 years old today. 42? Holy crap. And Benicio Del Toro. Oh, Lisa, you can't mean that.
In a dirty way.
Yeah, just...
In a really dirty way.
Smell him from here.
Yeah.
Just thinking about him, I can smell something.
My wife
something.
Thinks he's hot, too.
He's
what?
Hot, dirty,
yeah.
hot.
Hasn't had a bath since Carter was in office,
yep,
that guy.
I'm with you. I think he's a great actor, but I don't
do
get
too.
The hot thing.
He's got all... His eyes are all swollen. And talking like this.
He looks horrible.
Strokey McNoshower. That's who he is.
And yet hot.
Not!
Yeah.
Not!
All right.
He's ugly hot.
Yeah.
Ugly hot.
You know what? You know, men do not have that category, by the way.
I know.
You know that?
I know.
Oh, geez. You know that girl from my big fat Greek wedding? Nino Vardalos? Oh, she's ugly hot. No. She's just
You're
ugly
right.
fat.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Don't.
True. Ugly hot does not exist.
Anyway, Benicio's 41 years old today, and he's ugly hot, apparently. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Psycho Mike, if you come with us Friday night down to see the Ducks play the Blues for Kevin and Bean night in Anaheim, are you going to complain that the game's too boring until the end, or are you going to be able to hold your tongue?
No. Hockey's good.
Hockey's not
good.
Like that at all.
Hockey's okay. We like to go down there once a year. We have a great time. We're looking for Ducks fans right now who can make it this Friday night. 1-800-520-1067. I can't believe we're going to do it.
Nope.
We're going to debut yet another new game.
Don't have, but we don't have a theme song, unfortunately.
Let's hear it.
I wish we did, but we don't
what,
have
what happened?
Well,
I think
it,
we did.
It,
I think he said what in?
It, oh.
It's time for Duck Clues.
Omar's on the smack again.
Wow.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
So here's the way this game is played. We're looking for famous ducks. I will give you a duck clue. All you have to do is tell me which duck we're talking about, and you are in. There's no drawing or anything like that. You actually win tickets to join us Friday night at the Pond in Anaheim for Ducks versus Blues hockey. Who's our first contestant?
Lawson and Sherman Oaks. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Great, Lawson.
Hi, Lawson.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Listen up. We're looking for a famous duck. Here's your duck clue. This famous cartoon star never wears pants, leading Mickey to suspect that he's effing goofy.
Donald Duck.
Nicely done. How does he do it?
See how easy that is? Congratulations. We'll see you Friday night, dude.
Yay.
Thank you. Yay. James in South El Monte. Good morning.
What's going on, Kevin Bean? Lisa May.
Hi, James.
Listen up. I don't know that we need that. Here's your duck clue. This guy laid an egg in a George Lucas produced movie that became known as one of cinema's biggest bombs.
Laid an egg in a George Lucas film. Howard the Duck?
Nicely
yes.
done.
Well done.
I did not think you were going to pull that one out. Congratulations, James.
James, was someone sitting next to you that gave you the answer?
No, there was not.
Liar.
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 He says to the benefit
giggling.
Of the person sitting next to him, right?
Because you could tell that he didn't have a clue, and then I heard someone in the background say it, but we don't care. He
liars.
Dave in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Morning.
All right, Dave, this is a tough one. Here's your duck clue. This legend battle. No. No. No, thank you.
Worst
this legend battled.
Ever.
Hey, I'm sorry, what?
Worst theme song ever.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Wait, we've done worse.
Yeah, we have.
Come on, that's a tough battle right there.
All right, a tough question here, too. This legend battled Marvin the Martian as Duck Dodgers of the 24 and a half century. Which duck?
Oh, wow. I have no idea. Unfortunately.
We were looking for Daffy Duck this time. Daffy Duck.
Daffy
nice
Duck.
Try, though. Thank you for the call.
All right, let's go to Tyler in Camarillo. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Tyler, what do you think of the theme song?
I don't know. I think it's kind of annoying. Duck, 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 duck.
that's what
we certainly weren't going for annoying.
That's what we look for is annoying.
Here's your duck duck clue. Listen up. The webbed mascot for this insurance company could kick that Geico gecko's ass.
The Aflac duck?
Nicely done.
Beautiful. Aflac. Beautiful. Congratulations. We'll see you this Friday night against the Blues. It's your Anaheim Ducks. Who's next?
Let's go to John in Norwalk. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
All right, John. So far, pretty good luck giving away these tickets. Let's see how you do. This 2.5 men star became famous as Ducky in the John Hughes movie classic 16 Candles.
Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink. Pretty in Pink.
Hey, it's that 10-year-old retard quarterback loving John Cryer.
That's who it
yes,
is.
Yes, that's right. And you are correct. It is Pretty in Pink.
Nicely done. All right.
Wow. How are we doing? How are we doing on tickets? We got more?
We got plenty. Let's go, because it's early in the week, you know, so we can give away pretty much as much as we want today. Jason in Anaheim. Good morning.
Morning.
Hi, Jason.
All right, Jason. This Disney star may be the richest duck in the world. Who is he?
Oh, God. Dude, Huey and
no?
Dewey's uncle. Oh.
That's right.
Come on.
That's correct.
Come on.
What's the name? We can't go with the nephews.
Yeah, it's slipping my mind.
He's kind of, too bad. I was going to tell you, he's kind of stingy with the money. We're looking for Scrooge McDuck this time is what we wanted. Thank you, though.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Chris in La Mirada. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Chris.
I'm sorry, I forgot. What's the name of this? What's the game we're playing?
He booed us, and he hasn't even played yet.
I didn't say boo. I said no.
Oh, okay. All right. In the world of politics comes your question. At the end of his second term, President Bush is currently this kind of weak-ass waterfowl.
That's hard to say. That's
what do they call a president that's just about out of office?
I don't know.
Got all the help we can give you.
It's called the lame duck is the expression. Lame duck is what we were looking for.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call.
Sorry.
All right. One more. Let's go to Jason in Whittier. Good morning, Jason.
Morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Jason.
All right. Here's your question. This ducky superhero's secret identity is Drake Mallard, and he has a sidekick named Launchpad.
I have no idea.
Oh, another famous cartoon duck. We were looking for Darkwing Duck this time. Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
Sorry. Never heard of it.
We can't go out on a down note. Let's take one more. Let's go to Victoria in Santa Ana. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, listen up. A formerly popular Los Angeles morning radio host had a formerly popular number one hit record in the 70s called what?
Come on.
Oh, gosh.
It's duck in the title.
Oh, God.
Kind of a late 70s type of music.
All
right, let's talk about conspiracy theories. It is fascinating how many people think that there was a conspiracy theory or have that about September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that's questionable in the past, there are conspiracy theorists out there. And one of our interns, Beer Mug, shouldn't that really tell you all you need to know? I don't know.
But having said that, Kevin, sober people have conspiracy theories, too. It's not just drunkards like Mug.
I don't know, though, in 2008, what would cause a guy like Beer Mug to start delving into the 63?
Right.
Shooting of JFK. Why?
Because he wasn't around then, and at some point in your life, as you grow up, you weren't alive when the Beatles were popular, but you discover Beatles music. I mean, I think every generation kind of investigates the big things. Everybody learns about World War II. Everybody learns about man landed on the moon. I think as you gain knowledge on the subject, you start to ask questions.
I've never asked a single question about the JFK assassination. I just figure other people are doing that ad nauseum, and they don't need my help.
Well, Kevin, I don't ask questions.
You're not a curious person.
Well, I'm curious about stuff today.
What's surprising is neither is Mug, really. I mean, you gotta understand,
right.
every single day Mug comes in, and I'm like, hey, how you doing, Beer Mug? He goes, smell my fingers.
Right. That's Beer Mug. That's
him. Out of the blue, one day, he goes, you will not believe what I found out about Jack Ruby. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Listen to this.
So Beer Mug was on the internet, apparently. And?
And, well, I've been doing a little Mug search. And the reason this all came up, like, I talked to you guys last week, and I was just curious about it. I did a report on JFK and everything, and I just wasn't satisfied with the fact that Lee Harvey Oswald the lone gunman
right.
killed
uh-huh.
the president. So I did a little research, and we discussed a little bit last week. Bean asked me about the Warren Commission and how Gerald Ford was on it, and he was good. And I'm not necessarily saying that the Warren Commission had, you know, was covering anything up. They were misled. They were given evidence that was tampered with. There are numbers of video interviews by doctors at the Parkland Hospital in Dallas saying that when they had Kennedy's body, there was a gaping hole in the back of his head.
Right.
And there were White House photographers there.
Right.
Naval photographers taking pictures. All of a sudden, the pictures that come out in the National Archives is a picture of Kennedy's head with no hole in the back of it. That's obvious tampering. That just leads to something
I don't think they want to put out pictures of the president with his head blown off.
Well,
do they?
If they're holding evidence in the National Archives, shouldn't you think that
is that evidence or it's a place where tourists can go?
Well, they have a lot of things closed off to the public.
Right.
So you could get your hands on some things.
Okay,
but
so it's things like that that lead Mug down the road of
right.
must be a conspiracy.
There have been a lot of people ever since 1963 who have suggested that was too good a shot from that distance to have done the damage that it did to hit the president. And also, if you remember, to hit Governor Connally, too, at the same time, who's also shot in the car with the president. But they did investigate it, and they came to the conclusion that he acted alone. But what's fascinating about Mug and his recent interest in this assassination is just this weekend, documents that have not been seen for decades were revealed in Dallas about a conversation that apparently was had between Lee Harvey Oswald, who shot the president, and Jack Ruby, who shot Lee Harvey Oswald, live on TV, by the way, 3 days after the Kennedy assassination, discussing off in the president together, suggesting that there was some sort of conspiracy and that there were more than one person involved.
Right.
And that's going to just the whole thing's just going to blow up all over again. And now there's going to be millions of little beer mugs out there running around squawking about this assassination again.
And I got to give credit to all those guys who put these websites together and actually do the research. I'm just feeding it back. I'm looking into it.
Excellent. So you're not doing your own research. You're just because if you read it on the internet.
Well, listen.
And if you see it on the news.
You ready for this? The news is completely manipulated.
Oh.
Everything you hear every single day is designed by corporate media to do one thing and one thing only.
What's that?
Jesus. To keep you living in fear.
Oh, fear?
Total fear. Fear so you'll go out and you'll spend money on things. Things you probably don't even need. Things you probably already have six of so that their advertisers can keep buying ads on their stations.
That's true. He's got a point there.
That is true, by the way. And, I mean, all you have to do is tune into How Your Pillow Will Kill You tonight at 11, and you know that guy's telling the truth about the media. Come on.
All right, we're going to take calls with conspiracy theorists. But the key is, because we don't have that much time, one call per topic. So if somebody gets on the air and they want to talk about September 11th, which we know they will, that's the call. Then we're done with September 11th. We want to move on to something else.
Okay.
We want a lot of different conspiracy theories.
Okay.
So 1-800-520-1067. If you're like Beer Mug, you spend most of your time in alcohol, and you're just now discovering that something is a huge cover-up by the government, then we need
you
to call.
Whatever your personal conspiracy is, if you're convinced that the government is covering up UFO technology, for instance, we want to hear from you. If you're convinced that the moon landing is fake, we want to hear from you. If you're the guy who's out there who has spent your life researching that the government invented crack to keep the black man down, we want to hear from you. All these topics are on the table, but one call per conspirator. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up after this on K-Rock.
Don't know why the Grateful Dead are always on tour?
Yeah.
You know why? Because they're all British agents, intelligence agents, they're spies. Jerry Garcia himself has a 00 rating, just like James Bond.
Jerry Garcia's dead.
That's what they want you to think.
I'm going to warn our affiliates now that we're running long. We're taking this topic all the way to 10:05 a.m. because these calls...
We don't have affiliates.
1-800-520-1067. Your conspiracy theories, if you're just joining us. Beer Mug is convinced that the government has covered up some evidence that JFK was not assassinated by just one guy. We want to know what you think is going on at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Jake in Ontario? Now, this is one I have not heard, but Jake says it's so.
Hey, Jake.
What it do, party people?
What it do?
What it do, Jake?
Yes, thank you.
Conspiracy theorists, what do you got?
Traffic lights are controlled by the CIA, so they can track us. And, like, if you're at point A, they know it takes you so long to get to point B, so they always know where you can possibly be.
Traffic lights, local traffic lights in every city?
Every city
are controlled by the CIA. And they can track you, Jake, when you're driving your car?
Well, they know how far I can get in a certain amount of time. So if
why do they need to know that?
So in case they want to find me.
Oh.
I don't
know. But, I mean, how do they know which car you're in? Is your car bugged?
It's possible. I mean, they've got stuff everywhere. You always, like, whenever I go to a hotel, I check all the vents.
Uh-huh.
I check the air conditioner. You know, you never know.
You never know because the CIA.
No, you should.
Why does the CIA want to find you so bad, Jake?
You know, certain things happen to certain people for good reasons and bad reasons.
Right, but
that,
why?
That's an excellent point Jake's making right there, Kevin. Don't just discount that.
But what is the main reason that the CIA has to follow you in the traffic lights?
It's not just me. It could be anyone.
It's everyone.
It's everyone.
Wow, the CIA must be enormous for everybody to watch the traffic lights, all the traffic lights.
Bigger than we could imagine.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, thank you.
I'm. By the way, I'm gonna rule on whether these are true or not.
Me too.
I think Jake is right. I think I am on board with Jake. He has convinced me.
I agree. Let's go to Dan in Villa Park. Good morning.
Nice. What's happening, guys?
Nice.
Nice to you as well.
What's going on, Dan?
Hey, cool. Just getting over a little bronchitis, but what do you call it?
Sounds like you're getting a little bong-titis.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I got both. But what do you call it? Janis Joplin, mm-hmm. Jimi Hendrix, uh-huh. and Jim Morrison.
Right.
We're all knocked off by the government with bad drugs.
With bad drugs?
How easy would that be to do? They killed the whole hippie movement by knocking off a few key people.
So you think the government didn't want the hippie movement to go on, so they killed some of the people in that time?
Just start knocking them off. I mean, how easy would that be to slip in one of their 21 Jump Street people with a bad sheet of acid and just get rid of those people? And that's what
I mean... I can see you could kill off a few people easily, but the hippie movement went on for a number of years after those three deaths.
It went on for a number of years, but they killed the key leaders of it, like, you know, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison. Those were all people that were involved in, like, the Kool-Aid acid trip and the San Francisco hippie movement.
All right.
They got rid of all the big people out of the picture.
All right. I'm going to rule true on that one as well.
I agree. That sounds very plausible. Thank you for the call, Dan.
Okay.
Very educational.
Go to another Dan. We're talking about conspiracy theories and only one call per topic, so let's change topics with Dan. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
What's the conspiracy theory that you believe in?
Well, I'm not going to give you everything, but it's a lot of things that point out that Pearl Harbor happened with the government's knowledge to get us into World War II.
So our government wanted to get into the war, so they knew about the Pearl Harbor attack ahead of time and let it happen.
Exactly. There's a bunch of stuff that kind of points to it. One big thing is, like, our biggest and best aircraft carriers were gone on unscheduled Sunday morning maneuvers, and the rest of the ships in Pearl Harbor were going to be decommissioned anyway.
Right.
And the Navy doesn't just do random unscheduled maneuvers on a Sunday morning.
I got you. So the government wanted to. I'm going to rule true on this one as well.
There's a grain of truth in this. Do you know about that, Bean, that there was some notification to the government, but it got there late?
I have heard that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Dan's right on. I think that we were working with the Japanese. We were together on the same side. I believe that, yeah.
Hmm. All right, let's go to Sean, who is calling from Tustin. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Conspiracy theories.
Hey, I think the government invented AIDS.
The government invented AIDS?
Yes.
Our government?
Our government, a government, somebody was doing it for, I think, population control. Because basically, if you look at it, you know, we didn't have any STDs, you know, like until the middle of, you know, maybe, I don't know, 50s, 60s, 70s, somewhere around there. All of a sudden, it pops up out of nowhere, and they're saying that somebody, you know, effed a monkey. You know what I mean? Come on. That just doesn't
make sense. But to be fair, Sean, I mean, many STDs, you know, syphilis and chlamydia and diseases like that have existed for centuries and centuries. But you're right. We didn't have something that was going to kill you until AIDS came along. And that may be where you're headed with this.
So the government wants fewer people, so they introduced AIDS. Did they introduce it to the black population, like some people believe?
You know, I could see that.
Wouldn't surprise you, right?
Yeah, would not.
All right, I'm going with yes on Sean as well.
I think so, yeah. By the way, have you noticed any kind of a similarity in the callers?
Yes. They're all baked now.
They're all calling from the same frat house, it sounds like.
They are all completely baked right at this second. Armin in Irvine.
Hello.
Duck, duck, goose.
Okay, good.
Armin?
You just did duck, duck, goose, by the way.
Oh, I see.
9/11 steel beams were cut in the buildings.
A lot of people think there was something hinky about the way those buildings went down. They look like an implosion or something
like
that.
Those giant government steel cutters.
Let's talk to Eric and Covina because he's got one I haven't heard before, and it's in the sports world. Eric, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, Eric.
I'd like to say right up front that we love our audience because this is all gold.
Well, first I got to say that traffic light thing.
Yes.
Freaky, dude.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. CIA tracking all
hey,
of us?
Big brothers everywhere, man.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Now, my conspiracy theory is that the United States government is controlling the NFL referees, and that is what's keeping the Oakland Raiders out of the Super Bowl and getting all these bogus calls.
Wait a minute. So you're saying the government does not want the Raiders in the Super Bowl for some reason, so they control the referees in the NFL games to make sure they don't get there?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because back in the 70s and early 80s, we had the killer team. Lyle Alzado, Howie Long, Jim Otto, all those guys that were bruisers. And what was happening is Al Davis was creating a master race of NFL football players. They could not be beaten. And so, you know, they killed Lyle Alzado with the steroid thing. They gave him brain cancer. And look at the record since the mid-80s. They just have sucked. And it's all because of this whole conspiracy against them.
They want
Dallas and New England because they're, you know, America's team and the Patriots, you know, because they're the Patriots.
But why does the government not want the Raiders? Why do they care either way?
Because the NFL was going to overthrow the government.
Well, okay, now I'm in. If you put it that way, I didn't realize the NFL was planning on overthrowing the government.
That's why they were creating the master race of NFL football players. Look how big and strong they were.
That's
they
true.
They were going to destroy the White House.
I don't know why we didn't see that before. We watch football every week. Never occurred to us. Thank
know,
God
man,
you called, Eric.
Right there.
All right,
it's right there.
I'm ruling yes on Eric.
Absolutely true on this one.
I think we believe.
By the way, Beer Mug, this is how you sound to us when you talk about Kennedy, just so you know.
Well, you know what?
Right on is what Bean needs. Yeah. Right on. It sounds like in our gut, like you know what you're talking about. We have time for one more. Let's go to Vince. Vince is calling about Carrot Top, right?
Yeah, he's a government. Well, the government made him. He sells drugs, man. I saw him on Hollywood, and he's mechanical. He shortened his arm, and he said, if you mess with me, I'll come back. And if you tell the police, I'll come back.
Hey, Vince.
Yeah.
Carrot Top is a robot made by the government.
He's actually escaped, man.
He escaped from the government?
He's bald, too. That hair of his is fake.
Fake, sure.
Yeah, he's a big phony, man.
Okay, but we're talking about conspiracy theories, Vince. Everybody knows Carrot Top is a robot. That's a fact.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
Okay, all right. So he's made by the government, and he sells drugs.
He sells drugs. He sells all kinds of drugs.
And
man,
he showed you his robot arm.
Well, no, he threatened me, and he said, "If you F with me, you know, I'm gonna come back after you. You know, do not tell the cops." And he said, "Do not tell my girlfriend."
Yeah, well, he doesn't want her to find out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's terrible, man.
Yeah. Well,
I'm glad you called. Say hi to Cheech.
Hey.
I'm sorry?
It's Jack Johnson.
Oh, is it?
If I Had Eyes, the name of that, it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56. Bob Saget.
When I want to laugh, I'll take Bob Saget. Sorry. Thank you very much.
Well, you're in luck because Bob Saget is here, and he'll be joining us after the news at 7. It's Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, I mentioned in the last hour that if you go to the New York Magazine website, you could see Lindsay Lohan, reenacting Marilyn Monroe's final photo shoot, the one she did just before she accidentally overdosed. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Talk about conspiracy theories.
Yeah, no kidding. Kennedy's had her killed, you know.
Yeah, that's what happened. I did get the photos, thanks to everyone who sent me the link. If you haven't seen it, again, it's in New York Magazine on stands this week. And she looks great, by the way.
She does.
She does.
She's got a blonde wig like Marilyn Monroe. She's posing behind a few very thin veils, so you can see pretty much everything that's going on.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Did mention that in the last hour. And in response, I got an email from our old pal, the Reverend Speaker Gerald Pauly.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, great.
He's the guy who speaks to God on a daily basis.
Exactly.
Okay.
He's in touch with the spirit world, with heaven, and I just thought I'd pass along this information. Greetings, Ralph. Marilyn Monroe wanted us to send you a message and ask you to let people know that she was absolutely delighted that Lindsay Lohan redid her famous photo shoot. that she did with the photographer just before she died of an accidental overdose. He says in quotes, maybe he knows something we don't.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Excellent.
She would appreciate it very much if you'd pass this message on to the public, especially to Lindsay. She cannot understand why anyone would think it's inappropriate, that oftentimes people are just too touchy and bothered by things they shouldn't be bothered by.
Sure.
Speaker Gerald Pauly. So there you go. Marilyn Monroe gives Lindsay's photo shoot the stamp of approval.
It's good that he can check with her on things like that.
It is.
That's very cool.
I'd like to know more about the accidental overdose in quotes. Maybe Marilyn has some inside information for us. Talk about your conspiracy theories. It'd be nice to get it straight from the horse's mouth.
Well, we can talk to to Gerald Pauly anytime you want, and he can channel Marilyn if we have any questions for her.
That's true.
Maybe Linda channels Marilyn.
That's possible, yeah.
I don't know if you guys were watching the Dance Wars last night.
What?
I was.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Seriously? My kids love that show.
Dance Wars?
Yep.
With Carrie Ann and Bruno?
Yep, they love that show.
Teach them right from wrong. You're a parent.
They're kids, dude. What are you going
to
do?
That's when you have to teach them what's right and wrong.
They love that show.
Oh, my kids love heroin. Here's some syringes and a little spoon and a lighter.
They are about the same. Shut up, kids. They are about the same.
No, one is worse, Kevin.
Dance Wars?
Yeah.
Aren't you worried about them taking your kids away if you admit that they watch that show?
Nah.
Anyway, somebody won something during that show. But the important part was that during the special edition of Kenny Mayne's Dance Center, see what they did there? It's like Sports Center, but Kenny Mayne comes on and calls it Dance Center. They released the upcoming cast of Dancing with the Stars 6. So now we know who will be competing. Here's your list. Priscilla Presley. The people love her.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
American Pie actress Shannon Elizabeth will be dancing.
Ooh. Oh, good.
Miami Dolphins star Jason Taylor. He's a tall drink of water. He'll be dancing. Actor Steve Guttenberg.
Yes!
Really?
That's right. I said actor Steve Guttenberg.
Still alive?
Will be dug up, propped up, and made to dance.
What's up with that?
Mario. R&B singer Mario.
Sure.
Will be performing. Former tennis great Monica Seles.
Okay.
Will be competing. Hmm. Christian De La Fuente. Univision soap star.
Okay.
Latino heartthrob.
Okay.
Handsome fella. Former Olympic gold medalist, Christy Yamaguchi, the figure skater.
Okay.
She will be dancing. Hairspray lead, Marissa Janet Winokur. She was the fat girl in the movie, Hairspray.
Okay. She was? That was her name?
Okay. No, that was Nikki Monsky.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Somebody else in Hairspray.
This is the Broadway star.
Oh, Broadway.
I'm sorry.
Broadway. Okay.
The,
gotcha.
The Broadway version.
Sorry.
Penn Jillette.
What?
Magician Penn Jillette.
No.
That doesn't seem right.
All 9 feet, 400 pounds of him.
Are you kidding?
We'll be dancing. Wait a minute. The list gets weirder.
Can't.
Does. Marlee Matlin.
Yes.
Oscar-winning deaf actress.
How can she hear the music?
They're going to turn it up really loud.
How loud does it have to be if you're deaf?
So you can
all the loudness.
The floor vibrates.
You ever been in the front row at a Foo Fighters concert?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Just want to feel that beat going right through you.
That's awesome.
And the only thing weirder than a deaf actress dancing in Dancing with the Stars is Adam Carolla.
Oh, my God.
Awesome. What's he been doing? I haven't heard from him in a long time.
Former Man Show co-host Adam Carolla.
Yes.
Former Loveline co-host Adam Carolla.
Yes.
Adam Carolla.
I heard you.
How will he do?
I heard you.
Let me tell you something.
You used to room with him.
Let me tell you something.
All right.
If the Man Show was still on the air, what TV show would they make fun of more than Dancing with the Stars?
None.
More show. That's the answer.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be on it.
Well, he could at least beat Marlee Matlin, so he's at least got one week under his belt.
Want to make a bet?
That is sad beyond sad.
Oh, my God.
That is deeply sad.
I find that deeply funny.
Now, let me ask you this question,
Ralph. You might as well just go on Santa Monica Boulevard and just give Hummers for beer money at this point.
Just head to Vaseline Alley.
It's the only way he could lower his dignity anymore. It's just tragic.
Let me ask you this, Ralph, because as you hear the list, you think about what the motivation is for each person. A guy like Steve Guttenberg, let's face it, isn't getting a lot of calls. I understand why somebody like him does it.
Right.
Why does a guy like Adam Carolla, I mean, what does he
benefit? Why does Penn Jillette do it?
Yeah, no.
What
yeah.
does he benefit from that? Yeah, Penn Jillette is another one.
She works all the time.
They don't need it.
I have no answer.
awesome.
Do you think they want to get in shape? Or
you know
what
it is? I think Adam Carolla just loves to ballroom dance.
Is that it?
I think that's what it is. He just has, he's always had a love of the dance.
Can't get it out of
and
his system.
And now he finally gets a chance to express that love of the dance.
When you lived with him, did he dance around the house a lot?
Stop dancing. All he did was he'd dance in the living room, dance outside, dance in the patio. You'd just catch him morning, noon, and night. Just working on his grand plies.
And ballet, too, right?
Oh, you name it. Lombada, ballet, foxtrot.
That's great.
He just couldn't stop.
So hard to sleep in that house with him doing the Paso Roble out in the living room every night.
That's all he cared about. Tango. Wouldn't stop dancing.
That's awesome.
Oh, wait a minute. No, didn't dance. Hated dancing.
Can't.
Now,
can't
will Jimmy have to break up with him?
No, I'm sure Jimmy will be on the show, too.
Sure.
Co-signing it with some other ABC blowfest.
We need to take it. We need to start a
pool. They just sold their souls to the devils. What's happened?
We need to start a pool of who's going to get kicked off first, because really there's a battle for that. I mean, there are a lot of people in that list. You go, no way are they going to make it past 1 week.
Yeah.
I got to think Mario would be a front runner, I would think, and the skater, I imagine, would do pretty well. To win.
To make it, because
to have talent.
He probably dances with his act or whatever, right?
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You got Pendulette, you got Adam Carolla, you got Marley Matlin. It's going to be one of those three.
And the Dolphin, too. Don't forget him.
Yeah. Jason Taylor?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So I'm stunned and shocked. I feel like he's dead. I feel like there's a death in the family. I feel like we should have some sort of funeral.
That's awesome.
For his balls.
Smell that, Ralph? That's the smell of justice.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it is. Did you guys catch any of the Knight Rider on Sunday night? The
two-hour
Knight Rider movie?
Missed it.
No,
come on.
Not a bit of interest.
Well, apparently you were the only one, Kevin. Pulled in huge numbers. 12.7 million viewers overall.
Is that huge?
They can get the number one show of the night.
This is a mess.
How was it, Ralph?
Yeah, horrible.
Was it really?
Horrible. No.
And you tried to get us to watch it.
No. Horrible. Well, look, so far we've had a pretty good track record of 70s action series being updated. Battlestar Galactica is really good.
Yeah,
Bionic
really good.
Woman is really, really good. This was like there was a script left over from the original Knight Rider that they thought was too bad to produce back when they were doing the Hasselhoff series.
No.
And so they said, well, let's just film this one. It was god-awful. Dialogue, everything, performances, you name it, bad. Bad.
I did read, and maybe it was in Entertainment Weekly, that this is one of the shows, Ralph, that they really rushed to make before the writer's strike, and they could not finish the script, for instance. Ooh. It was one of those that needed a few more passes, and and the strike happened, and they were out of time, so they just shot it the way it was.
That makes sense, then.
Maybe they should have.
Maybe they should have held off. However, because of the numbers, it will be a weekly series coming back in the fall, so good news for Val Kilmer. Gets to pick up a few more checks. Val Kilmer, bad, by the way.
Really?
The voice of the car, all I do is say, we're making a left now. That's all he had to do. Wasn't quite believable.
Wow.
I'm a little surprised Carolla wasn't the voice of the car.
Really? Barely do anything for a buck. And congratulations to Hayden Christensen.
Oh.
Jumper was the big winner at the box office over the weekend. Made $31.7 million over the 4 days it was released. Because it was released on Thursday, of course.
Dude.
Yeah. Big, big numbers. Number two was Spiderwick Chronicles, which came in at $26.7 million. So
another big one.
Looks like there may be sequels in the work for both of those movies. Let's take a look at the top birthdays. The top birthdays.
Just the top.
Just the ones. For today, Jeff Daniels from Dumb and Dumber turns 53 years old today. Seal, the singer Seal. He's 45 years old today. What's up with that thing in his face?
I don't know. He's up with a lot of it, whatever it is.
Justin Bateman. You know him. I'm sorry. Justine Bateman from Family Ties. She's 42 years old today. And Benicio Del Toro.
Mm.
Nope.
No. Stop it, Lisa.
Ew. Ew. Kind of like that.
No. There's no mm.
There is a
when there's ew, there's no
there's
mm.
There's ew.
No, there's no mm with ooh. Ooh is
there
a
is
mm breaker.
That is an mm breaker. That's true.
He's 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All the ladies want to make him a spouse. When it comes to downstairs, he's got a full house. He's
been arrested 20 times, never been convicted. If you see a badass, guaranteed he's kicked. Gonna start some fish, he'll end it quick. Like Martha Stewart with a bigger dick.
Hey, Bob Saget.
Hi. What a beautiful piece of work
that
is.
A theme there
it is,
for
yeah.
You.
Yeah. Bob, did you see Mr. Ned Flanders on The Simpsons this week talking about you?
I did not, but I know he is a fan, correct?
When I want to laugh, I'll take Bob Saget. Thank you very much.
That's all I got to say about
That's
that.
That's supposed to be a compliment somehow to someone, right?
You think, right?
People exactly. that aspire to his way of thinking.
It's funny, since the last time Mr. Saget was in, and by the way, Bob is appearing at the Grove of Anaheim on Saturday, March 8th, so very timely appearance from Bob here this morning. Since the last time you were in, you had your HBO special that yeah. I saw and enjoyed very much, and I guess I missed the South Park episode where they skewered you, but they, I mean, that was one of the funniest things. The way you tell that story about tuning in to see South Park, which apparently you love, right?
I love that. They're both geniuses, and I was just watching it with my oldest daughter, and all of a sudden they said, here comes the host of America's Funniest Home Videos, Bob Saget. And I come out, and I'm like, I'm a freak. I had like a cheese doodle for a nose and a pork rind for an ear. And I'm like, and then they cut to the grandfather laughing and slapping his knee. And then Cartman goes, this guy sucks almost as bad as that guy on Full House. And then it was just, it gets worse
That's
from there.
Weird.
But it was just my oldest daughter and myself were watching it. And that was the joke itself.
Sure.
You're yeah. just relaxing, wow. and all of a sudden someone calls you out and says, what crap you are.
So celebrities are real people and they have feelings? Is that what we're learning here today, Bob?
No, I am part cyborg.
Now, Bob, we were talking a minute ago about Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
And you came in and sat down and said they've asked you to do every one of those.
They've asked me to do
Did they ask you to do
things.
Celebrity Apprentice?
No. In fact, what happened there was I was trying to promote the show Drowsy Chaperon. I don't know my show
Drowsy
anymore.
Chaperon.
Drappy Chapmalam. Mm-hmm. Chapalapa Ding Dong. I was doing Drowsy Chaperon on Broadway for a few months.
I didn't know you were in that.
No
show.
Kidding. You were in that?
I loved it.
I've never heard of that.
It's the Tony, right?
Six Tonys. And Bob Martin started it, and then a guy named Jonathan Crombie was in it. And October through December 30th, I was in the part.
Right.
And then it closed because of the theater strike that happened and all that stuff. It just didn't go through January. There was a celebrity apprentice thing shooting, and I was competitive, and I just went, okay, I'll do that. I jumped out of a SUV and just tried to just yelled out Drowsy Chaperon a few times. That was it. David Hyde Pierce was selling curtains, which not literally curtains, but that was the name of the show.
Broom's right. starting to spin real fast because
yeah.
Because of gayness.
Yeah, I know.
The but act, Bob, the act me, that dare not speak its
no,
name.
No, please don't get started with that again.
But it's but you let, guys that do that.
The act that dare not oh, speak God. Its name.
Which I didn't do much because, I was on Broadway and I changed. I became a different man.
Is that right? No sure. more act?
No more anything. I'm right. no more homophobia or anything.
But let me ask you this question,
I'm
Bob.
I'm scared
because
of Miss Saigon now, but other shows I'm fine.
Critics of where Broadway has headed in recent years
yes.
say that they get celebrities because you put seats in the butt, not because you're competent actors. Did you feel that you got cast because you were the Bob Saget, or do you think that they thought you had the chops for the role?
Do you put seats in the butt?
Do you put seats in the butt, first of all?
Or however
first
that goes.
That was on the,
does that happen?
On the Newlywed Game. It was seats in the butt, Bob. I actually am told there was a 40% increase in the size of the anuses that had been in the
Is show. That right? So fatter people,
fatter,
not more.
Buttocks.
Oh, no, that's
more,
what it was.
More people.
Sure.
Less filling. It was a 1,600-seat theater. Right in Times Square, there, the Marriott Marquis. And so, yes, it was a great, great experience, and probably whatever art and commerce that met that my face would help.
Did you have to sing?
I did at the very end. I
Give
did
us
a
little
singing. I can't really.
Give us a little.
As we stumble along. Anything else?
Well, a little more
the
than that.
The act that dare not speak its
the
name.
The act that dare not speak its name.
You've created things here that I can only hear in my head at home.
That's good.
But it was an amazing, truly amazing experience. And the closing of the show was December 30th. It's still on the road. It's coming here to L.A. I might do it. I'm not sure.
Did you feel like when you were on stage, what am I doing? How did I end up on Broadway?
Have you ever
Broadway?
Been on Broadway before?
I did off-Broadway. I did a Paul Weiss play called Privilege about 3 years ago. And so, no, I kind of knew what I was doing, but I didn't know it until the first week of opening came
wow.
by.
Seems scary.
It was a blur the first week. One of my lines was supposed to be, an arrow doesn't fall far from the sky and just point at the one you're supposed to be with. And my line on stage was, with 17 frozen people while I talk, because I'm the moderator,
mm-hmm.
an arrow doesn't just come out of the sky and go through an apple and then pierce your heart. Because I did like a William Tell kind of thing. Because there's out there somewhere, there's for someone, for everyone. And then one day you say to someone, and then I'm back on the off ramp.
Wow.
It was weird. It was taking
that
a
That was a long
detour.
Moment for you, wasn't it?
It was 2 hours. It was unbelievable. It was a 40-second soliloquy to an off ramp.
Wow.
I met a trucker and picked up a Stuckey's nut log roll and then got back on the stage, and the actors were like laughing, sweating. There was humor in their tears.
Yeah.
How were the critics to you?
Very kind, and I slept with every single one of them.
You slept with them?
Yes. I woke up with a drama log in my bed.
Wow.
It was, they were really,
by the way, drama log works on every level, doesn't it?
It does, and you can burns for 4 hours. But it was an unusual amount of kindness, and that can only mean one thing. They're desperate to have someone like me there, which means
clearly, yes.
God knows what. My mother feels the same way about me.
Sure.
No, they were the nicest community and most wonderful. I was being welcomed by people like that I revere, like Mel Brooks would come over to me and say, get out of business. And then other people were just, you know, they painted my picture at Sardi's.
Aww. Really?
Yeah,
that's that restaurant
they,
with
all the pictures. I feel bad they covered over George Hamilton's, but that's, you know, I had the same tan going.
That one should have been covered over.
No, he looked good. Yeah. In fact, they match you to him with the same orange hue.
Sure.
Bob is at the Grove of Anaheim on March 8th, and of course is the host of One Versus 100, which is not on Friday night at 8 anymore?
I think it's stopped.
Or are you now on Beating Up Someone's Dad? I don't understand.
There's
what's going on with that
show?
Time slot?
No, what they do is they have a hit show. We were the number one show of all Friday nights, so mm-hmm. they're going to try another show there.
So they took off the show
for a while, I guess. Okay. I don't know. I haven't gotten the phone call yet. They tell me last, but right now I think it's a show. My dad is larger testosterone than your dad, something like that.
You got replaced with that show.
Well, that happened last year too when Penn Jillette had his thing, and you just sit and see if they want it because it is a reality world. The other thing that would happen is there'd be 9 shows more of the same kind. So let it all be in the time spot. Let everyone be healthy and eat from the manna that the reality god is passing down our
throats. Okay, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either. They should put it back on. We got a live monkey.
Bob Saget is here. We will take a quick break.
I'm so glad that record ended and we can finish that conversation we were having off the air.
Well, we can't actually bring that conversation onto the air. But.
We can't, but it reminds me of a guy that says, you know, when you break up with a girl, dude, you just got to get back up on the horse.
Right,
I
sure.
Said, no, you know, I want a girl, dude. I don't want a horse.
Hey,
I don't want a function.
Mr. Bob Saget, I'm glad you're here.
Let me
spend 15 seconds of your time making this announcement that the K-Rock audience has tuned in at this time to hear. It's K-Rock's World Tour 2008, Destination Number 7, that band right there that we just played is known as Incubus. You will win tickets to go see them in Beijing, China.
Really?
How about that?
Wow.
It's a one-way flight, but it'll be a cool show.
You qualify by winning the complete Incubus DVD catalog all week long, including this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then Friday we do the grand prize drawing to see the band at the Star Live Club in Beijing on March 12th. That is the latest great trip that we're giving away here on the World Famous Carrier. You haven't been to China. You've probably been most of the world.
No.
But not
how
China
far
yet,
is that from Bangkok? What? Can you play that
That's
music again?
Yeah, I can. I have that standing by if you need it.
Bangkok. Use ice.
Best name place in the world. Hey, Bob, we were talking about your very funny HBO special, which
I think
still runs occasionally in the reruns, and you ought to check it out if you haven't seen it. It was taped in front of a live audience in New York, and you told a story, and forgive me for asking you to do some of the act, but you told a story on the show that I've been meaning to ask you about, because I don't think you've ever talked about this subject on our show before, which is the videos that people would send in to you for America's Funniest Home Videos that you obviously couldn't air. They were porn or people died. I mean, it's unbelievable the stuff.
Terrible.
I mean, you literally got sent snuff films, right?
Yes. So one film students put together pieces of Faces of Death, which
is
a terrible thing with me narrating it. And then they would cut to people laughing with their heads throwing back all those cutaways.
Should have had that on HBO.
Here's something that shouldn't happen at home. And it's a man being gored by a bull. I mean, it was terrible, terrible stuff. And overweight people naked in a shower, breaking the shower door together, laughing.
But you
That's the one that
off,
I wanted
right?
to hear more about.
Right.
That was real? That really happened?
It's real. There were two giant, I mean, to the point of, I'd go to four tundra. In the weightage area. And they were in the shower, barely, and someone, a third party had locked off the camera because you don't want a third person in the bathroom.
No, you can't fit.
Nor was there room, and when the shower breaks, there's nowhere to go. So it breaks, and they're like drunk. They're like on Jaeger or whatever, or on drugs or something, sadly enough to say.
Sure.
Well, unless it broke their fall, maybe it worked out for them.
See?
And then they hit the ground. It's bad because of their weight. They kind of, the buoyancy draws them toward the counter of the sink first.
Oh, no.
So it's a double L dog hag left. Dog hag left.
Dog hag?
Alexander Haig. And then they hit the ground. and they're still laughing and still trying to have sex with each other.
You don't have access to that video now.
I have it with me right now.
Do.
No, no, I don't. I don't.
Seriously, you should do the stuff we couldn't show when I was doing.
I know. I should have that.
That'd
with
be great.
Me. However, I have brought in Gertie and Martin, who are two people that say they'll do it here for you.
Oh, right now, live. Excellent.
Those are the old days of LA radio. You'd actually bring in the two overweight naked people, a shower and a slip and slide.
Bob, you should bring some of those videos to your stand-up show and actually show them on stage.
I could do that, but then there's one legal problem. And then maybe, just maybe, there's an ethical problem.
Just
naked, nude. Naked.
Just put on the ski hat and go in, steal the tapes, and you got yourself an act.
So it's all security camera stuff.
No worries.
There is a guy running around yelling my name who unfortunately, Tourette's, and he yells, Bob Saget, instead of cursing.
Really?
And he runs around a swing set yelling, Bob Saget, Bob Saget.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they tell me
do you have video of that?
Yeah, it's on the web. It's all over the YouTube. But they say he passed away, that he doesn't exist. And he was also fake. But he would curse and say my name. I'm looking for a woman that does that.
Even when you're not having sex, you just...
Bob Saget, me Bob Saget. You know, then my name has full purpose.
Sure. Yeah.
What about the guy with the pool that had the cover on top of the pool? What about that dude?
That dude was a freak. And that was a real tape. And look at you. You really love that.
He does.
It was amazing, though, because this is what we all want. We all want the stuff behind the stuff that we see on TV.
Right.
And that's why it was so fascinating to hear you talk about these interns that go in and wade through thousands of tapes to get the stuff you can put on TV. But the far more interesting stuff is the things that you couldn't.
Borderline snuff. Borderline hurt will come to someone. And I'm against snuff because it's just one take. You can't fix it.
Right. That's
you
true.
Know, in post. So there was a guy, real
skinny
guy.
So your problem with snuff films is that you can't retake it.
Yeah. You can't do coverage. You got to be able to, you know, if you're doing a film, you want to be able to get it right.
Sure, yeah.
I need to get it over. You can't, dude. We got it. We lost the light and the star. So, and that tractor's out of gas. So you got two tractors. It's two of everything. That's the other thing. You can't always do that.
How's the tractor involved?
Doubled the wardrobe, but there's no point in using the other. So with tractors involved.
Well, if there's a snuff film, the guy's got to have a twin, in other words. In case
it
doesn't work out.
That's
twin.
The secret.
Good. Okay, what happened?
A guy is in a scuba outfit, and he's standing in. He's got an above-ground pool kind of thing, a trampoline that he wants to turn into a pool. And he is going to climb up a tree and bounce onto this pool with a rubber cover on it, which is going to act as his trampoline.
Okay. Wow.
And he's yelling drunk, completely drunk, and he looks like the Tasmanian devil, and he weighs about a pound and a half. And the camera's locked off. There's no one else there because he's a fool. You don't do dangerous stunts with no one there. I call him a fool only because I think he passed away. So he looks in the lens and goes, "Watch this, you're going to love it, Bob Saget." I mean, that's his voice. That's how he talks. So he's an indigent of some kind or a pirate. I don't know. But he's my kind of guy.
Sure.
And he goes, "You're going to love it." I mean, all right. Well, you convinced me. He's a hard sell. And he climbs about 15 feet up this ladder, and he looks at me and he goes, "Watch this." And from far away, it's very funny to hear, "Watch this, Bob Saget." And then he gets like his foot caught, and he goes, and it's all real sound effects, and he kind of worms his way very quickly, bumping. You would definitely want to TiVo it and watch the
he
actual.
He fell out of the tree.
Down the ladder kind of quickly onto the side of the cement as hard as he possibly.
He missed the trampoline, in other words.
He missed the pool fake trampoline, the pool cover, and then there's no movement.
How'd that go for him?
He doesn't move.
Ever.
And ever. And there's no movement, and there's no one there, and they keep rolling, and the footage is still rolling. And I know the screeners were just laughing when they found this.
Sure.
And I don't think I was supposed to be sent it to begin with, but I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, God, he's dead. I can't look at this.
And his last words were, look at this, Bob Saget.
And I called the screener, and I said, what did you do? And he goes, isn't that funny? Oh, by the way, he wrote us a note. He didn't die. He just broke a few ribs.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm like, put a post-it on an ass wipe, you know, just tell me he didn't die.
How about an update?
Because you're weeping at this point in your room, right?
I was sending flowers to his family.
Bob, you need to go back to whoever has all that stuff and get it.
But I'm afraid.
No!
Couldn't it be a DVD of Too Hot for TV?
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
To get those tapes, it'd have to be like No Country for Old Men. I'd have to go into a hotel, go through an air vent.
have an air gun that you can just kill people with.
Exactly. Air gun I need, but I need to push that that briefcase all the way to the end.
Sure.
Right. Dog leg right.
Get
the producer,
stuck.
Do you have the money? Do you have the stuff? Do you have the money? Do you have the stuff? No, that's not my world anymore. I just want to give 100 people away and as fast as I can and then have the guy next. A guy won $1 million on the one version. versus 100 show.
Really?
Yeah, how can you not be excited about that?
Wow, I didn't hear that.
And the winner gets to jump onto a above-ground pool.
Excellent.
With a trampoline cover, with no help whatsoever.
So to win the million.
And no ladder. He's going to jump out of a glass.
All right, so what did we decide? Is 1 versus 100 on this Friday night at 8 NBC then?
I think we did decide that it is.
Okay,
I believe we decided that A, Bob doesn't know, and B, we think so. We think it's on at 8 on Friday.
And Bob is also playing the Grove of Anaheim, which is a great place, groveofanaheim.com. That's stand-up on March 8th, which is a Saturday night. And Bob's website is better than ever at bobsaget.com, and you ought to check that out. And you are or are not accepting nude photos from your female fans at this time, Bob?
I don't. I don't accept them unless they happen to cross my eyes.
And then
no, nude photos. What would you do with the nude photos? I mean, I don't want to clog up my
stockpile
gun, my keyboard.
See what I'm saying? Wish that didn't happen.
The act that dare not speak its name.
Yeah, because I have a girlfriend and stuff.
We should have gotten out just before then. We should have moved on.
What do you mean by getting out?
Yeah. You know. Oh. Okay, Bob. Thank you.
Hey, I got some great news for you, Kevin.
Yes?
You thought we were done with talking to Eli Manning, Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, I was so sad when the Super Bowl was over.
I know you were sad because we enjoyed keeping up with him throughout the playoffs and, of course, after the Super Bowl. You thought that we'd be done. Well, now we have an excuse to get him back on the phone because apparently, according to the New York newspapers and People magazine, he is engaged to his longtime girlfriend.
Fantastic.
So I think congratulations are in order, and we have Eli on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Eli.
I'm Eli.
Yes,
it's good to hear your voice.
Hi.
Hi, Eli.
Hi.
Did you get engaged?
I'm going to be married.
You're
going to
be married.
Yes. She's a girl.
She is a girl, yes.
She is a girl, right.
She's a girl.
Now, her name is Abby, and you guys were college sweethearts. You met back at the University of Minnesota, Mississippi, rather. You've been together for a number of years, right?
I went to
Ole Miss. Right.
Okay.
Not old.
Okay.
Old.
Right, but I think the point is that you met her there. Right.
Yes, and she went to college.
She did, yes.
And I did, too.
Right, that's what you
meant. I'm a college graduate.
That's what we hear.
Yes, you are.
Now, have you set a date? Do you know when you're going to get married?
Yes!
Okay. When is it? Eli?
1891. That's the date.
Oh.
1492.
Okay, those dates are in the past.
1776.
Are you going to get married in 2008 or 2009? Do you know that? Eli?
What?
I'm 1-0.
You're number 10, yes.
I'm 1-0.
Okay, let's move on.
Name is Abby.
Her name is Abby, right.
When I was little, my nickname was Abby.
Okay.
Abby Normal.
Okay.
Oh. That's what Peyton would call me.
Oh, that's sad.
Don't hurt Peyton. Don't hurt Peyton. I'm retard strong.
That's what I
heard. Yes, you are.
Now, let's change topics from you getting married to Madden 09. Apparently, you are going to be on the cover of EA Sports Madden 09.
What?
Video game. A football video game.
Where am I going to be?
You're going to be on the cover of it. It's going to be a picture of you.
No, I don't want to be on a cover.
Why?
What do they do, staple you to it?
No, it's just a picture.
Ow, staples hurt.
No, it's not your body.
One time I put staples in my head.
Yeah.
And after like 25, I stopped.
After 25.
Ouch. It hurt.
Wow.
Yeah.
Eli, it's considered a great compliment to be selected by John Madden to be on the cover of his game. Some of the great athletes like Vince Young and Michael Vick and Sean Alexander, guys like that, get on the cover. And it's a good thing.
Except for the curse.
What?
It's a good thing, Eli.
It's a compliment.
John Madden is fat.
Yes. That's true. You probably don't want to say that before the game comes
He's
out.
Fat.
He is fat.
Fatty,
yes.
Fatty.
Now time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Congratulations to Jumper. The Fox movie had a big weekend at the box office, pulling in $31.7 million over 4 days it was released.
Wow.
Coming in number two was the Spiderwick Chronicles, which rolled up a equally impressive $26.7 million. So already they're talking about both of these movies spawning sequels. Oh, good. Good. Great.
Still jumping?
Still jumping.
Oh, man.
Hey, where was Dave's movie? No Love for Step Up 2?
That was in the top 10. I don't have the whole list in front of me here, because usually they put it out on Monday, so it came out yesterday. But
right.
It did pretty well. Maybe Jump to the Streets. Maybe that's
good
what
point.
We're going
to there
see.
You go.
Mix them together.
Did you guys see anything over the weekend? I saw a real good movie.
Mm-mm. What did you see?
I'm guessing the Postman Abortion Sweden Japanese Harry Carey movie.
Nope.
Can't see anything we've heard of.
I see a lot of movies that you guys have heard
of. What is it?
I saw The Orphanage. This is the Guillermo del Toro movie, the horror movie about the kids that are ghosts.
I have seen the trailers for that. Yeah.
Oh, well, you loved Pan's Labyrinth, right, Kevin?
Yeah,
you saw that
creative,
one. It was a fantastic movie.
All right.
Well, this is brought to you by the same team, and it's very, very scary. I think you'd like it, Ralph. It's a good old fashioned, ghost in a haunted house kind of movie. It's real good.
I like it.
It's no Jumper.
No Jumper.
Speaking of which, Doug Liman, the director of Jumper, told MTV News that originally, Eminem was supposed to be the lead role in Jumper.
Really? But?
Something that could have made the movie interesting.
Did he get too fat?
Doug Liman said he can tailor a role to fit any actor, he says. If the actor has chops and he thinks Eminem did. The studio wanted Eminem, but Liman insisted that the lead go to Hayden Christensen.
Really?
Excellent choice, Doug.
How
God forbid, there might have been someone with charisma in the lead, and that would have distracted all of us from the jumping.
I don't hate Hayden as much as you do, but how do you say I insist on him? How do you have that much enthusiasm for him?
I have no idea.
That just doesn't make sense.
How can you not hate Hayden Christensen?
I don't know. I just don't. I don't like him. I just don't care. But I don't know how anyone
seen Jumper. That's what
but I don't know how anyone love him.
Go see Jumper.
I mean, that's the opposite direction.
Go see Jumper. You'll come back. You'll be on my side.
Okay.
Speaking of movies, they are casting the Street Fighter movie. Of course, Street Fighter, one of the most famous video games of all time. Daily Variety says that Kristen Crook, who plays Lana Lang on Smallville, will star as Chun-Li in the movie. Yeah. Michael Clark Duncan will play Balrog. And Chris Klein will play
Balrog?
Nash.
Yeah.
I did say Balrog.
Right.
And Chris Klein will be Nash.
Okay.
Those of you who know the video game, that means lots. Yeah. To Kevin, not so much.
Not so much.
No word yet on who the villain will be. Of course, Bison is his name.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see. But
Bison's
good.
Here's
some casting news. Katherine Heigl thinks that she's too hot now to work on television.
What?
According to the New York Post, she wants out of her Grey's Anatomy contract.
No.
Because of the movies?
After her success with Knocked Up and 27 Dresses. New York Post says the actress believes she's ready to focus solely on her movie career. She still has 2 years left on her Grey's Anatomy contract, but where does she wants out? Perhaps she should call David Caruso for a little career guidance before she jumps off her hit TV show.
A lot of people try that. Very few make it.
Yeah.
David Caruso was on NYPD Blue, right?
For 1 year.
1 year.
He said, I'm going to go do movies. I don't need TV anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
20 years went by, and then he got another TV series, and he's happy to have it over there at CSI Miami.
You know what's interesting, Ralph, and I don't know that this ever factors into the decision that people make, but so many more people see your work on television than will ever see you in a movie.
I think it's a lot more of a day-to-day grind, isn't it?
It's a lot of work, especially doing an episodic. You're working, 14, 18-hour days, week in and week out. In a movie, you do that maybe for,
a couple months.
4 or 5 months, and then you're done for as long as you want to be until you take your next project. But it's a grind. But at the same time, you're going to have a job when you get back there.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can do movies during your hiatus if you so choose.
Is it still a prestige thing, too?
A lot of it's ego, too. It's like, I'm a movie actor as opposed to a television actor.
Way better than TV.
But there's so many fabulous movie actors who've come to TV in the last
It doesn't have the
years.
Stigma Absolutely. It used to, but for a up-and-coming actor who wants to prove themselves, everyone thinks they've got an Oscar performance in them.
Yeah.
Some people are eager to make the jump, so.
That's why I love a guy like Steve Carell, by the way, who will do movies and is great in movies, but also appreciates the quality of The Office and says, I want to keep doing that because it's a great show.
Yeah.
I think comedy is probably less of a grind, though, too, than an episodic is. Yeah, and a half hour is a lot easier work. And I just think it's a much more fun day, too, because you get there and you just laugh with your buddies all day long and you make funny television. It's a little bit easier than the episodic dramas.
When I want to laugh, I'll take Bob Saget. Thank you very much.
Won't we all? Bob's going to be in Vegas, by the way.
Yeah.
March the 21st, he's going to be playing at the Hard Rock. And I'm going to be there that weekend.
At the Joint,
at the Joint. So I'm going to hook up with Bob at the Joint.
How about
we're hang out.
Bean's going to come, too.
Jeff Ross is opening.
That's awesome.
That's a 1-2 punch right there.
Bob said that Rickles is performing the night before, too, Ralph.
And the night after. I'm going to see Rickles.
How's that for a 1-2 punch?
That's the reason I'm going for the weekend. I'm going to see Rickles on Saturday night.
Sweet.
And I'll see Bob on Friday then.
So that'll be my comedy week.
Sounds like a plan.
Let's hang out, Ralph.
Nope.
No, let's go. Let's go together.
No.
You and me. We'll have some dinner. Do the town.
No way.
Ralph. Well, if we're both going to be there and we're going to the same stuff, I'm just saying let's hang out.
Cal, call his bluff.
You're not
call
going to the same stuff.
Let's spend some time together. Stuff.
You're not going anywhere.
I'll go see the Saget with you, and I'll go see the Rickles with you.
Call his bluff, Ralph.
We've called his bluff 100 times. He's not going anywhere. And if he was, he wouldn't do anything with Ralph. Even if he went.
Would you guys want to talk to Rickles if we had him on the show?
Yes.
Did you watch that special I gave you, Kevin? Mr. Warmth,
yet.
The HBO documentary?
It's great.
I didn't
It's
yet.
A great, great documentary. He's a fascinating guy and still hilarious. He's a legend.
That's what everyone says. I just haven't seen
him. Kevin hates the old people.
No, if he's funny, he's funny. Ralph.
But he's still funny.
Okay, I'll watch it. I'm still planning on it.
Because I think I got it in. I think we can get him on the show if you want to talk to him.
How about that?
I think
that?
That'd be an interesting interview.
Is that something we'll discuss over dinner before we go see the Rickles show?
No, you're not going with me to the Rickles show.
How come?
Because I've already got my tickets, and I've got everyone who's going with me has their ticket.
I'll get some Everyone's tickets set. In the section near you.
You can't.
Ralph was passing out tickets last week, just handing them out to people walking down the hallway.
You can't. It's sold out. You can't go.
Yeah, it's booked. Sorry.
So just dinner ahead of time, and
no,
then we'll just
dinner,
hook up for some clubs afterwards?
Why?
Some
clubs. You're not going to be in Vegas anyway. You don't live in Vegas.
I'm going to go just to hang out with you, Ralph.
Sometimes Bean shakes that ass. Sometimes, you know, he goes to after hours and just hangs out.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be so much fun.
I don't have time now for my favorite story of the day.
Well, sure you do. Go ahead.
Favorite story you got time for.
I don't. You sure?
Yeah.
One of my favorite, the focus is one of my favorite rock and roll stories ever has passed away at the age of 53. His name was Scott Halpin. Passed away recently at the age of 53.
He's a fag.
No, he is not.
Who is that?
Scott Halpin is the hero of one of my favorite rock and roll stories of all time.
Okay.
Let me tell you a little story, okay? It's 1973. The place is the Cow Palace. Legendary rock and roll venue in San Francisco.
Okay.
The Who is playing, okay?
President Fanta?
No. The Who. The band The Who. The British band The Who.
Ah.
They're getting ready to go on, and Keith Moon, legendary Who drummer and legendary drunken drug user.
Right.
Passes out after washing down a horse tranquilizer with a half a bottle of brandy.
Horse tranquilizer.
Now, Pete Townsend doesn't want to cancel the show. Keith collapses onto his drum kit when he gets onto the stage.
So it's at the beginning
it's
of the show?
It's at the beginning of the show.
Wow.
Pete Townsend turns to the crowd and says, can anyone here play the drums to our songs? Scott Halpin shoots his hand up, and since he was the closest to the stage, Pete pulls him up onto the stage. Scott plays the rest of the show as the Who's replacement drummer for the night.
Oh, my God.
And did it well?
And did it well.
Wow.
That night started his professional drumming career. He played drums in bands and in sessions in music recording studios for the rest of his life.
Wow.
Passed away awesome. At 53 years old this week.
That's pretty cool.
But that's my favorite story ever. Pete Townsend, anybody play drums? You. All right, come on up. Pulls off stage, boom, he plays the rest
Pete of
the
Best night. Is my favorite story ever.
That's a good
this
story,
is a second
too.
Place.
Yeah, it's a great story.
How did he die at only 53, though? Yeah. What was he doing wrong?
Keith Moon's family kicked his ass.
Really?
Okay. Beat him to death. Yeah.
Collectively just beat him up.
Yeah. Got tired of the story. Didn't want to hear it anymore.
Imagine going to a show.
He passed away from, but.
Imagine going to a concert to see a band you love, and then you end up playing with the group on stage.
That'd
it's
be awesome.
The fantasy. It's the fantasy every guy has who plays an instrument who goes to the show.
But Bridget the Midget asked me to play drums for her in Vegas.
Wow.
Kind of the same
it
thing.
It is the same thing. The Who? Bridget the Midget. Same thing.
Ralph, wasn't that that Mark Wahlberg movie, that rock star movie? That was a true story based on a guy who
Judas
was
Priest.
A lead singer of like a Priest cover band or something like that. Became the lead singer of Judas Priest. Similar, right?
Yeah. But this guy just plucked out of the audience. That's
no tryout,
cool.
No nothing.
Wasn't in a Who cover band.
Put
or
his hand
they
up.
Didn't. They hadn't known about him previous to it. He just happened to be close to the stage.
That's pretty cool.
It's how Rollins became the original. It's how he originally became the singer Black Flag. After
they asked for someone in the audience?
The singer was contemplating moving to guitar. And they were at a show in D.C., and Rollins came up on stage and sang their entire set with them, just out of the crowd, and then they asked him days later to move to Los Angeles and be in Black Flag.
Well, there you go.
Dear God. People are going to get the idea that this is the way to get in a band. They're all going to be trying to get on stage.
Just go to every show of your favorite band. Eventually, you'll play with them.
I don't want to play drums.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jeff Daniels from Dumb and Dumber is 53 years old today. Justine Bateman from Family Ties turns 42. Benicio Del Toro.
Mm-mm. I got an email supporting me, by the way. There's something so dirty,
the
hot about
line,
him, says Charlie.
Is
I would
at the book.
Totally do that.
Stupid Lisa!
Just shut up, because you're totally right.
Stupid Lisa!
Daceo is 41 years old today.
Stupid Lisa!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We have free songs for you on iTunes. In fact, 106.7 of them right now because we love the iTunes and we use it here at K-Rock. Of course, we have a K-Rock iTunes store through K-Rock.com. And what we like to do every Tuesday is give away this gift certificate for the 106.7 free downloads. Today, it's the kind of contest that Kevin and I are going to be the first to admit we would never win at.
Never. I would never win this game.
People are always able to do it, though, and that is the song montage. That's what we're talking about today.
All right. iTunes Alternative Rock. It's the Alternative Rock category, top 10. So these are five songs in a row, little clips of five songs that are in the top 10 on the alternative chart on iTunes.
Okay.
That's your clue so you know kind of what world we're coming from. We played all of them on K-Rock.
All right. Okay.
And here's your montage. Listen closely. That's it. Five songs, alternative chart, top 10, iTunes.
I'd like to hear that again, please. So 1-800-520-1067, if you can give us title and artist in order of all five songs, you'll win. By the way, the reason we do this deal on Tuesdays is because Tuesdays is the day that the new downloads are available for iTunes. And if you're a fan of the rock music, maybe you're excited about the new Mountain Goats album is out today. The Ravenettes have a new one today. More Chiba. Gary Loris, lead singer of the Jayhawks, has a solo album coming out today. I mean, there's just so much great stuff on there every week. And you can choose from that or anything else you've had your eye on just by going to Apple's iTunes when you get the gift certificate.
Steven in Santa Ana, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Are you good at stuff like this, these montages?
No.
Excellent. I'm going to play.
That's what we wanted to hear.
I'm going to play it for you once. Here you go. We need artist and song title in order. What are the chances you can give us that?
I have no idea, guys.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you for the call anyway.
None. All right. Let's go to Michelle in San Fernando. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you hear the montage, Michelle?
I did.
All right. I can play it for you one more time. Band?
I have no idea.
Song
what?
Titles in order. Okay, thank you.
Of course, you got to know the first one, I guess, to go on if you have to give them to us in order. But the first one, I think, is pretty easy, too.
Yeah, I do, too. But, again, I wouldn't even call in on a contest like this because it would be embarrassing. Ian in Los Angeles, good morning.
Good morning.
Here's your montage.
Well, let's see. I think I know, but...
Okay.
Let's see. Well, I don't know, but the Raiders still stink. The Broncos rule!
Yeah, they sure do.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought
of that.
They
were great in the Super Bowl last month, I'll tell you that.
Broncos, great.
Chris and Corona, good morning.
Good morning.
Here you go.
Band
and not
Paralyzer.
What?
Say again?
11, Paralyzer.
What's up? Yes, that's the first one.
That's correct.
Foo Fighters.
You know what? You know what? That's in there, but it's not in the right order.
Damn it.
Thank you for the call. Sorry about that.
Nice try. All right, now we're up and running here.
Making some progress. Good morning, Jason in Riverside. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Here's your montage.
Shoot. The first one's a Paralyzer.
That's Finger 11, yes.
Finger 11. The next one, I can't get it.
Yeah, shoot.
Is it Paramore?
Oh!
Yes.
What song by Paramore?
Crush, Crush, Crush.
No, sorry. What so a close. Wild stab in the dark that was, and you got the band right.
No kidding.
All right, so we got Finger 11 Paralyzer. Let's say good morning to Nick. Hello, Nick.
Hello.
In Cyprus. Here's the montage.
What do you got?
I got it.
Okay.
Finger 11 Paralyzer.
Yes.
Paramore, Misery Business.
Yes.
That's right. Misery Business, right.
The Foo Fighters, The Pretender.
Yep.
Correct.
The fourth one is The Killers, When We Were Young.
Nice.
Okay.
Close enough.
And the last one is Hey There, Delilah, Plain White Tees.
Look at that. How's he doing? 106.7. Well, free downloads from iTunes. Congratulations.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Way to go, Nick. Did you go to the online and look at the list, or did you just figure those out?
Absolutely not. I'm driving right now.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm impressed.
I got a question for you about our next guest that we're bringing on in about 10 minutes. If you've been nominated for 19 Academy Awards and have never won one, mm-hmm. does it make you a big fat loser or does it make you a winner, essentially, because you're obviously doing quality work to get that many nominations?
I think both.
Okay.
I mean, really, you're the guy, though, that hasn't won one yet. You've been nominated 19 times. So it's both. I mean, 19 nominations is amazing. No wins, also amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's up for his 20th, and we'll introduce you to him and tell you what, and you'll recognize every movie on the list that he's been nominated for. It's a pretty remarkable story. Coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show on the World Famous KROQ right now, the Afro Line is on the air, 323-520-AFR, 24 hours a day. You call us, leave a message, we play it back on the air.
There's a no at the end of AFR, but that's close enough. All right, here's the first one.
Caller 20, call in right now and get a free gram of great marijuana, KROQ.
Is there grape marijuana? Grape? That's fantastic. I didn't realize it came that way.
Whoever idea was to use the theme from It's a Small World to promote the KROQ World Tour can eat a bag of dick.
Wow.
That is one of those songs that you love to hate because it does get stuck in your head.
I want to see Lisa May naked. Mm-hmm. I want to see Lisa May naked. I want to see Lisa May naked.
I think we got it.
I want to see Lisa May naked. Do you know?
In There Will Be Blood, there's kind of a catchphrase going around, I drink your milkshake.
Yes.
I drink it up, meaning kind of I burned you by getting the oil from underneath your ground. You don't even know it yet. That's mm-hmm. what he was talking about. I'm not sure it's ever been used this way, but I'm in.
Hey, Lisa, I'll drink your milkshake anytime.
She's going to drink it up.
Yes, please.
She's going to drink
it
up.
Nice.
Remember last week when we were doing the top moment of our show and we were doing stump sex?
Oh, God.
We played some stump songs. They continue to roll in.
Hey, yo, Kevin and Bean, I got a little medley for you. Stump up the volume, stump up the volume, stump, 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 stump up the jam, stump it up with a missing leg, stump it up, a little pumping while you're stumping, stumping.
Sold.
She's got a stump, a stump, a stump. She's got one leg.
Going back to the, if I'm not mistaken, presidents of the United States of America?
That is correct, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I got a conspiracy theory. Have you noticed that Kevin and Bean and Skip and Steve, the Robbins brothers, are never in the same place at the same time?
I got to say no.
Interesting.
Never noticed
interesting.
That.
It never even occurred to me that we might be Skip and Steve, but now I'm starting to think about it.
Asperger syndrome with cheese, fries, and a Coke. Don't bother me. I'm Bean, and I'm gay.
Wow. How are you going to come at me like that?
The sex call is timely for me because I've been super annoyed with old drivers lately. And my favorite thing is the old driver who feels the need to get into the next lane over, into the next lane over, and the next lane over. They must get over to the fast lane, but they don't speed up. They go slow.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the rush to get to the fast lane, cutting people off. If you're not going to use it, if you're going to go slow, stay in the right lane.
It's a much better place for
you. You don't have to get over in the left lane, a-holes.
Yo, hey, Kevin. It's time, baby. It's time. Chew up the tape, man. You got to kill all the old people. You know what I'm saying? It's been a while.
The people of our nation don't see no obligation to fix the situation with the elder generation. They stuffing up the nursing homes to overflowing. But the problem keeps growing. People getting jacked for their social security checks. I detect that they don't get no respect. So what you gonna do? A dilemma for the whole crew. Open up your ears, I got an answer for you.
What's that?
Open up your ears, I got an answer for
what you. Say?
Open up your ears, I got an answer for you.
We got to eat all the old people.
Show them that you love them.
We got to eat all the old people.
Shove them in an oven.
We got to eat all the old people.
Stick them in a freezer.
We got to eat all the old
we
people.
We gonna garnish up a geezer. Gonna hack them, whack them, debone and stack them. 2x2 on the barbecue rack. I'm talking Steve McQueen with the Soylent Green. We grinded up the grannies in the granny grind machine. The venerable edibles, the ancient incredible burger. One bite and you know it's not regrettable. The aged, the antiquated, dilapidated. Gonna get processed
and then marinated.
And now we go around, we cleaning up the town. We frying up the golden girls to a golden brown.
We got to eat all the old people.
Show them that you love them.
We got to eat all the old people.
Shove them in an oven.
We got to eat all the old
we
people.
We gonna eat them skin and all.
We got to eat all the old
we
people.
We gonna marinate with Jared.
Talking OLD, a P-E-O-P-L-E. It's always the first, then the worst, till it become a tasty treat. We're talking E-A-T. Here we go, all the old
O-M-G. Let me hear you say E-A-T.
What you say?
O-M-G. Here we go. We got to eat all the old people. Come on. We got to eat all the old people. Come on. We got to eat all the old people. Come on. We got to eat all the old people. Here we go. We got to eat all the old people. Come on. We got to eat all the old people. Come on. We got to eat all the old people. We got to eat all the old people.
You know exactly how I feel. A sandwich is a sandwich, and your grandpa's a meal.
The Oscars are Sunday, you guys. Academy Awards.
They're Sunday. This Sunday?
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Wow.
And as much as we're looking forward to it, imagine how much a guy who is up for his 20th Academy Award nomination is looking forward to it. And we are happy to welcome Kevin O'Connell to the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us. You are a sound re-recording mixer. What the hell is that?
Well, I'll tell you what we do is we sit in a movie theater with a mixing console that's about 40 feet long, and every single sound that's in a movie we have at our fingertips, and we control it. We sit with the director, the producer, the composer, and we actually create the 5.1 mix that you actually go see when you go to the movie theater.
I see. So you put, like, certain sounds go into the surround sound speakers or whatever?
Exactly. What we do is manipulate all the sounds. The sound editors are the ones who bring us the sounds, and then they go to the scoring stage and they record the score, and the production mixer records all the original dialogue, and they bring all that stuff to us.
Wow.
And we sit there with the director and basically create the voice of the film. We create
Dude.
What you see when you go to the movie.
Now, you've done this for Transformers. You've done this for Apocalypto, the two Spider-Mans, The Patriot, The Rock, A Few Good Men. You've had 19 nominations before this year. This year is 20. And tell everybody how many Oscars you have on your mantle.
Well, at last count, I don't have any right now.
Zero.
And tell us how that makes you feel.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, everybody tends to look at that as am I upset about it? But listen, I've been invited to the greatest party in the world 20 times, and I get to meet some great people. I work with the best people on the planet, and I think I'm the luckiest guy in the world.
You're invited to the party, but you have to stay outside and look in the window.
No. I get to sit, and listen, after going there 19 times, believe me, even the busboys know me by now. It's great.
So you're the person who has had the most Oscar nominations without winning, right?
Well, I am, and I share this with my partner, a guy named Greg Russell, who's been nominated 12 times with me, and he's never won either. But and he's actually the reason why I'm nominated this year. This guy is amazing. He's the guy who handcrafted all the sound effects for Transformers, and just did an amazing job. So I'm in good company.
How excited!
Yeah, that guy needs to break away from you, by the way. That's why he isn't winning.
I can't tell if it's him or you. You know, there's one of you's poison.
Hey, Kevin.
Winning is a crapshoot. Anybody will tell you that. And the other thing, guys, is that keep in mind there's over 300 films every year, and only five people get the call in the morning that they're nominated for an Oscar on that morning. So I've been lucky to get it 20 times, so I feel fortunate.
When you got the call for this one, did you go, okay, whatever?
No, I basically, the night before, you're always a little unsettled. You always have a little bit of a rough night's sleep. And, I tell you, every time I get that call, it's like the first time. I just feel honored and excited.
It's too bad that the writer's strike got settled, just because it would have been funny had you won this year and they didn't have an Oscars.
Well, you know what? We were hoping that they were going to settle that strike. And I knew there was going to be an Oscars no matter what.
Okay.
Because I'm on the board of governors at the Academy. So
Okay.
I'm going to have a show.
Hey, Kevin, the Transformers, it seems like this is one of those movies, and Kevin will back me up on this, that when that movie was hitting the big screens, people said, wow, where can I go see it where they have the best sound in the theater? Because that's the kind of movie you really do want to experience, as close to the real sound as was intended as possible. Do you think you've got an extra special shot this year versus some of the other years when you were up for things like Memoirs of a Geisha?
Well, I think we actually have a shot this year. I wouldn't say we have an extra special shot. I'd say we have a shot. I believe the playing field is very level. I mean, when you think about it, we're talking about 40-foot-tall computer-generated images that were brought to life through the use of sound.
Right.
And if you believe what you saw in the movie theater, then we did our jobs. And like I said, I have to credit Ethan Vanderen, Mike Hopkins, and Eric Adol. They were a sound artist that actually created all those sounds, and these guys did an amazing job.
Let me ask the question another way. Would it be better for you, almost from the viewpoint of people are paying attention to the fact that you had 19 nominations and no wins, would it be better for you in the long run to not win this year? Because then you'd be the guy that had 20 nominations and no wins.
No. I think that's a record. Now I just soon let somebody else own that record.
Okay, so you already own that record. You'll go ahead and win.
Yeah. No, I'd rather get the monkey off my back. Put that behind me. And I hope that nobody ever has to break that record. Because I can't even imagine somebody having to go through 19 losses.
What about
like that.
Acceptance speeches? Have you written 19 of them?
I have 19 of them crumpled up. They were written on napkins. Some were written on business cards. Some were written on, and then the computer came around. I actually wrote them on computers.
Please tell me that you're going to pull them all out and read 20 speeches.
Unfortunately, you get 45 seconds. It would take me that long just to pull those out of my pocket.
Did you see the Grammys? Kanye West demanded that they stop the music that was playing them off.
Keep going.
Keep going.
Hey, Kevin, is your award the sound re-recording? Is this one that they do on the telecast on Sunday?
Absolutely, yeah. No, if I win, you'll see my smiling face up there, assuming that, I get my head put back on my body and my arms and everything.
No kidding. Now, who do you consider, obviously you're up against four other great films, but who do you consider is the favorite in your category this year?
Well, listen, all the films are great. They're all great sound jobs. The one thing that does give an advantage to your movie is if it's up for Best Picture as well, because you have an incredible campaign behind you promoting your film. And No Country for Old Men this year is up in the Best Picture category. It's the Best Supporting Actor, Best Director. So whenever your film is up against one of those, it always is a little tough. But No Country for Old Men was a great sound job too. So if it won, it'd be great for those guys as well.
It was, but it certainly doesn't strike me as a Transformers. Like, it seems like Transformers would need 10 times the sound effect stuff that they would for No Country for Old Men.
Yes, but keep in mind, the Sound Mixing Award isn't about sound effects. That's a separate award. There is an award for sound effects editing. And I feel confident those guys will win that award. It's our Sound Mixing Award is a little bit different. So that's why you see musicals in our category. You see movies like No Country for Old Men, and then you see the action adventures like Transformers.
I got you. I'm glad we had you on today, Kevin, because there are so many people, thousands of people that are involved in putting a movie together, and most of us can name, five or six of the people that get the most publicity. But you really, what you do makes such a difference with the experience of the audience in the theater watching the movie. I'm really glad that your category, if for no other reason other than because of your 19 in a row, your category is now getting some recognition because of it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And like I said, if I had to swallow the pill of 19 losses to get the word out there how invaluable sound is to a motion picture, think about it. Everyone in the store is buying 5.1 home theater systems, and I don't think people really understand why, and it's because of what we do in the in sound.
But you'd say you're finished with getting the word out this way. Mission accomplished.
I just feel very fortunate, and it's really great to talk to you guys, and I appreciate you even,
You bet.
What a great sense of humor you have. You're a good guy.
Yeah.
Kevin, listen, we'll keep our fingers crossed for that category. We won't TiVo pass it like we usually do. This year, we're going to be watching and we're going to be rooting for you, dude.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot and God bless y'all.
Thank you, Kevin.
You bet. Bye-bye.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's come to my attention that Beer Mug has been hanging around just so he can meet Kat Von D.
What?
So I'd like to suggest we need some food about now.
I'm starved.
Yes, we do,
Beer Mug might need to go on a food run. Just between 9 and 9:30. That's all, just at that time.
Sure.
It's a good idea.
Remember we did it at Psycho Mike and he got a speeding ticket trying to get back?
Yeah. That's right.
Adriana Lima.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, the beautiful Kat Von D is going to be in.
We need some food.
Staying here.
Intern, don't get to tell us. Charlie Martley doesn't know where they are. She's new.
Go take your hemp poncho, whatever it is you're wearing today, and go get us something to eat, will you?
The rest of us will be enjoying the beautiful Kat Von D coming in after 9 o'clock, talking about the Muse Inc. Festival and everything that's going on with her and her hit show, L.A. Inc. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday morning.
Speaking of hit shows, they've released the cast list for Dancing with the Stars 6. Happened last night while Kevin was watching Dance Wars, Carrie Ann and Bruno.
Yeah, well, my kids were watching. I wasn't really paying attention to that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you just got the one TV in your house.
I know you're living in that
one-bedroom apartment over there in Van Nuys. <No. laughs> Why don't you go into the screening room? I'd have Linus open the vault to the screening room, go down there and watch something else.
That's where we were.
You, you, let- you- the kids watch the Dance Wars in the jumbo screening room?
You'll find when you have kids, you watch a lot of crap that you wouldn't watch normally because you love them. You want them to be happy.
You get a special kid crap TV and they watch it there in the rumpus room.
You'll find out
while you're in the main room.
No, I get the rumpus room, by the way. That's
you. But don't all parents, Ralph, when their kids turn out to be Nazis or they turn out to be smoking meth or something like that? Most parents are like, oh, I just wasn't paying attention. I mean, it's happening under their roof, but they just don't know about it.
My fault. I didn't know what went wrong. What went wrong? You let them watch Dance Wars.
Look, that's all I have to say.
Good point. Anyway, well, Kenny Mayne came on with his edition of Dance Center. See, instead of Sports Center.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And revealed the cast list. Here it is. Priscilla Presley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Elvis's
ex-wife.
Ex-wife. Yeah. Okay. She's about the right caliber of star for this
show.
That's
what I'm
saying. She's well-known enough, but not really famous for anything.
Steve Guttenberg.
Yes.
There's a guy who belongs on Dance with the Stars.
Alive?
Okay.
Defensive player of the year from the NFL, Jason Taylor, by the way, from the Dolphins.
Yeah?
I hate it when these guys do it. I hate when the high-end athletes embarrass themselves by being on this show. They deserve better. Jason Taylor's a great player.
But he's like more Dolphins. Master P and less Jason Taylor is what you're saying.
Yeah. Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie.
Oh,
Boobs.
Mario. R&B singer Mario. Let me love you, right? Monica Seles, former tennis great. Got no problem there.
No Bell.
I don't know with Bell either there.
Yeah,
dude.
No Bell.
Okay.
No Bell. Univision soap star and Latino heartthrob Christian De La Fuente.
Ay.
Ay, mama. Olympic gold medal winner Christy Yamaguchi. Figure skater.
Hey.
Okay.
Marissa Winokur. She was the Broadway lead in Hairspray. Singer and dancer. You figure she's got an in, right?
You would think.
That girl's fat.
She's big, but she can still dance. we'll see whether Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller can dance or not.
That's a joke.
That's got to be a disaster, Penn Jillette.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he's nimble. He doesn't seem like a guy who's light on his feet.
Not at all.
We need to talk to him. It's been a while.
Marley Matlin.
Yes!
Oscar-winning actress, Marley Matlin.
Hey, and Dan.
I'm sorry?
One more time, no?
Hey, and Dan.
All right.
Wow.
I'm writing it in. Tomorrow we're talking to Marley.
Hey, you just did it.
I know, but
I did the Queen. B did the Hulk. You're doing Marley Matlin.
Everybody's got a specialty.
Tomorrow.
I'm Conk Lincoln Depp Guy.
Make a turn. Grab your hand and make a turn.
I'm Conk Lincoln Depp Guy.
Wow, that's something else.
And then.
Say it. Say it.
Hurts me, man.
Say it.
Former Loveline host.
Yep.
Former Man Show co-host.
Yes. Yep.
Adam Carolla.
Yeah!
Boy, that was really gay.
The guy at one time who used to pride himself on embodying the ideals of manhood.
The Man Show?
The Man Show.
It's top-notch gay.
Now is just surrendering his balls for Dancing with the Freaking Stars.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
I've also caught wind of the fact that Adam is in Chicago today because he is, along with the rest of the cast, doing the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Does she have any idea who she has?
Please enjoy.
Why would she have him?
Because they're having the whole cast on. They're doing a special.
ABC.
They're doing a special on the cast.
Yeah, wow.
She wants to give everyone a car or something. I don't know what she does over there. But that was a woman that they used to mock on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Wow.
He has to hate Oprah just like Jimmy does and you do and I do and Kevin does, right?
Yes, but luckily for him, he has no principles.
Does my butt look big?
Yes.
He can just, apparently he just doesn't care anymore.
I'm so fat.
We can't come to the phone right now because we're too gay.
Yeah. So there's your lineup. Please enjoy.
Dude.
Please enjoy that.
What's that all about, Ralph? You know him pretty well. What's going on?
Didn't see that one coming.
Publicity,
probably. Like, I'm the guy they interview on the evening news when your friend turns out to be a mass murderer. And they say, did you have any idea? No, dude. I lived next to the guy for 20 years.
You lived with him.
He was a very quiet guy, took his garbage on time, he was a good neighbor. I had no idea he was going to snap and just kill all those people. I'm that guy they're interviewing.
When you came home at the end of the day, did he grab you and start dancing?
Well, sure. Yes? I mean, there was he loved the tango. That was always well known about him. And Lombada, of course.
Yeah.
Foxtrot, crazy for the Foxtrot.
Sure, who isn't?
No, I've never seen him dance ever.
It's got to be doing it for comedy.
For anything.
Got to be comedy.
It's not a funny show.
No, I know.
It's not a lot of big chances for yucks there. There's not a lot of big monologues there for Adam.
He'll be the hairiest contestant in the history of the show, though.
They'll vote him off just for his hair.
Dude, have you ever seen, have you ever seen Priscilla Presley, that address?
Well, oh, that's true.
Man, she's a furball.
Yeah. You'll beat him out for that?
Yeah. Sad news. Friend of ours, Carrie Hart, getting a divorce from his wife, Pink.
Oh,
now it's happening, huh?
Yeah. The Pink's publicist, Michelle Schweitzer, tells...
Okay, explain the Pink.
Tells People magazine that Pink and Carrie Hart have separated. This decision was made by best friends with a huge amount of love and respect for one another. Certainly. While the marriage is over, friendship has never been stronger.
Isn't it never been stronger?
They're really pushing it now.
Even when they were
Come
happy?
On.
Even when they were engaged?
Even though they're happily married, now the relationship is better than it was then.
Can we put out the word to publicists and to celebrities that we all know what it's like to go through that horrible situation?
No, they're the best. They're better friends now than they were when they were happily married.
Listen, Carrie Hart.
Now that the marriage is dissolved into a puddle of tears and anger.
It's easy to be friends when you don't
He's
talk.
One of the coolest people that I've ever met, Carrie Hart.
He's always been a good friend of the show.
But not better friends now than he was before. That's just not the case.
You don't know.
I'm just saying. It's
Michelle
not the case.
Schweitzer tells us otherwise. Mm,
all right.
They are so happy together, they're thinking of getting married, Ralph.
No, they're such good friends, they don't want to ruin their friendship by dating or staying married.
Wow. All right.
This has been talked about for the last year. We've heard reports of trouble in paradise.
They've always come
back and said, no, it's fine, we're happy, there's nothing going on.
Deny, divorce. That's how that happened.
That's how the D's work.
Yeah.
Liars.
And congratulations... to the 4-year-old son of crocodile hunter Steve Irwin.
What did the 4-year-old son do?
Little Robert finally got his first snake bite.
Oh, good.
His mother couldn't be more proud. Apparently, mom, Terry Irwin, was letting the 4-year-old Robert play with a baby boa constrictor when the snake bit him on the finger. He picked one up and bit him on the finger. He was so proud to have copped his first hit, she said. Oh, that's great. Congratulations on letting your 4-year-old play with a snake, right. You batty bitch. He said,
hey.
I hope it isn't venomous, so I assured Robert I wouldn't actually let him play with a venomous snake.
Sure.
Oh, Irwin family, have you learned nothing? What's next, swimming with the manta rays for little 4-year-old Bobby?
Yeah.
By the way, Bindi, you know, the little kid Bindi who's taking on her father's...
Freaky little kid, yeah.
Taking on her father's cause. She's on the TV now. She's got Bindi the Jungle Girl show on Nickelodeon or whatever. She got her first bite at 18 months, so she kicks his ass.
Wow.
Yeah, 18 months.
G'day, I'm Steve Irwin, and you might know me as the crocodile. Stingray! Crikey!
Mike's right there.
Wow. No, Steve.
No, nope.
Where's that?
That was before the days, I think.
Before the Steve days.
Yeah.
By the way, not to interrupt, but Beer Mug is refusing to go out for food. He is throwing a big tantrum in the other room.
I don't think he has that option.
That's what I'm saying.
We can't fire him. He doesn't work for us anymore.
We can physically kick him out of the building.
He's an intern who doesn't.
Don't come in here all high and mighty.
You intern, send her.
We don't want to. She doesn't know where it is.
She could get there.
How about you go, bitch?
How badly she drives. I mean,
yeah, she's Asian. Come on.
This is
not to mention she's gonna come back with like Labrador or something or poodle. We don't want that for breakfast.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks,
Thank
Dave.
You. Take
Send
him the hell
way.
Out.
Poodle.
That is so true, Dick.
She's gonna bomb us while we're sleeping.
She's
you know
didn't
how they are.
You know
they are. You know they are.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, they didn't bomb us while we were sleeping,
yeah.
Right,
oh,
Kevin?
My bad.
She's making
Pearl
it up.
Harbor never happened. You're right. My
I'm
bad.
Guessing she wasn't involved. Is all I'm saying.
How do you know?
I'm just saying.
She looks shaky to me. I'll tell you that.
She's an Asian with dreads. What do you want from her?
Exactly. How do you trust
Working
that?
Working away. Remember Pearl Harbor.
That's right.
She's like 14. There's no way she had any part in it, guys.
Dude.
They look young for a long time.
They do.
She could be playing. She could be just passing herself off as 14. For all we know, she could have been Hirohito's left-hand man.
I'm guessing not.
She could have been Tokyo Rose. She could have been pumping propaganda across the Armed Force Networks.
She's not Japanese.
Oh, no. Whatever.
She's Vietnamese.
Vietnamese? Oh, don't get me started.
Kevin doesn't get it. He wasn't there like
he
us.
He wasn't in the patties like we
oh,
were.
Shut up.
To the rice patties.
Both of you shut up.
Trying to avoid the tiger cages.
It was hell!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Benicio Del Toro.
Universally loved by chicks. They say he's sexy.
I've gotten like 7 emails now from
universally
women.
Hated by soap manufacturers, though.
That's correct.
Because he's never sampled their product.
Not once.
Not once.
Stupid Lisa!
He is 40.
Kat Von D, is that short for something?
For Catherine von Drachenberg.
Is your goal to cover yourself entirely?
No, I'm going
to
stay away from my chest.
Why would you stay away from your chest?
Oh, I like my boobs the way they are. I started tattooing at the age of 14, mm-hmm. and I got my first tattoo when I was 14. I've turned down a lot of people. Anything that goes against, like, my morals, you know, I don't do anything, like, racist, or anything that I think is going to be regrettable, you know, mm-hmm. if I've been dating a boy for 2 weeks, I probably won't do his name on the internet. I've been drawing all my life, and one of the kids was, you know, tattooing all this with his homemade machine. He was just like, you should tattoo me, and I'm like, okay. Uh-huh. And I did it, and I loved it, and I've been doing it since.
I just set the Guinness Book World Record for doing the most tattoos in 24-hour period.
Our next guest is tattoo artist of both the rich and famous and the poor and unknown. You can see her brandish her needle expertly every Tuesday night on TLC's LA Ink. Please welcome the Human Art Gallery, Kat Von D.
Human Art Gallery, come on.
Hi. Let me tell you something about Kat, though. She and I have something in common. We both love her chest just the way it is.
Thank you.
Kat, the last time we had you on, first of all, welcome, my dear. It's good to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
The last time we spoke with you was the week you were leading up to going for that Guinness World Record for
the most tattoos. That's right.
And you were inviting people to come on down and get in line. And what was the deal with that? How many did you end up doing in 24 hours?
My original goal was 400, which I thought was, like, unattainable. And I actually did 400. Wow. And I had, like, a few minutes to spare, too. And I was like, I don't know. The girl who was number 400, she was so awesome. She'd been waiting 39 hours. And wow. She just turned 18. And, like, it was her first tattoo. And she was so scared. And I just remember doing the tattoo. And I'm like, I look up at her. I'm like, this is your first tattoo? Like, and you're like number 400, you know?
Wow.
I'm like, I should stop it right here. And I just gave her
is it true that
hug.
Numbers 390, 391, 392
no.
were kind of crap?
No, number one was the worst.
Was it really?
Yeah, that was my sister. It was I just got so nervous. Like, everybody was like counting
down. You rushed
down.
Through it at the beginning, but at the end you knew you could make it.
I didn't rush at all.
You didn't rush. Okay.
I didn't rush any of them because I had about 3.6 minutes for each tattoo.
Doesn't sound like a lot of time to me.
It's not. I mean, it was a simple logo, you know. It was only 2 inches tall or so. But I think, like, just – when I sat down and they started counting down and my sister's there and I had the machine in my hand and I just started thinking, like, oh, my God, this is really happening. Like, there's no turning back now.
Right.
And I'm just like, ah! So, like, I'm like, don't worry, Karen, we'll fix this later. But after that, it was easy.
How brutal was it, though, to do it for that length of time?
I think, you know, it wasn't so much like – I was really happy with every tattoo, you know. Like, I made sure that everything was awesome, but it was like a test of endurance, you know? Just like staying up that whole entire time and like I didn't
want... And on your feet?
No,
you were sitting?
You know what? It's on tonight. That episode is on tonight.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Oh,
so if
great.
You watch it, you'll see the actual process. I mean, you'll see the edited version cut down because we really jumped through hoops to get organized, you know? It's pretty
cool. Tonight at 10 on TLC.
Too many people showed up, actually. And I honestly thought, I'm like, I don't think... There's going to be enough people.
I remember when you came in, you were very worried about running out of people at hour 16 or whatever. And
yeah, because I'm like, who's going to come down from the hours of like 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. to 10 a.m.? You know, who gets tattooed at that time?
Right.
And like, I got there at like 9 a.m. before we started at noon, mm-hmm. and there's 320 people. And I was like, oh, awesome. Like,
how about that?
Like, I think, you know, like, it'll be cool. And if we need somebody, I can call friends, whatever. And then in 2 hours, there was over like... There's a couple thousand kids.
Wow.
That's amazing. Yeah. Now, we've tried to be in the Guinness Book of World Records a number of times through the history of our show. And we've never been successful. We've done the thing that would have broken the record, but we always screw up somewhere with getting it authenticated or getting it on video or taking the breaks at the right time or something like that. Did you have somebody who was your liaison to make sure that you did everything according to the book so you'll actually make it into the record book?
Yeah, we had to actually get the, the title approved. Which Guinness finally approved, and then they gave us an entire like package of like what to do and what not to do.
Pretty picky, isn't it?
It was crazy. I mean, we had to have like 2 witnesses, 2 loggers, a medic on hand with 4-hour shift changes. You know, we had to have like it was just really, really gnarly. Like I had to put together like a team of like 50 to 100 people.
Wow!
To just coordinate everything,
just to make sure everything was done right.
And then it's like I built this giant skate ramp in the front of my shop, mm-hmm. and like right before noon, the fire marshal comes over and is like, "Oh yeah, this is not going to work. We're going to have to shut you down." I'm like, "And there's kids like down the line."
You mean right before you started, not the second? Wow!
And I was like, "What are you talking?" I'm like, "It's a piece of artwork. I'm not. You can't skate on it. We have like things on it. You know, like we, you know, whatever. It's handicap accessible. Blah blah." And then they're like, "All right." So he was allowing only 10 people at a time. It was really cold at that time too. I felt so bad.
Dude.
Oh my God.
Now, Kat, hand in hand goes tattoos and rock music. And that's why we were fascinated when we started giving away tickets to your Musink Festival.
Thanks for doing that.
We had not heard very much about this. This is new at the OC Fairgrounds. This is the first time they've done something like this, right?
Yeah. I put together like a tattoo convention / music festival. So I think it's like, you know, it's just something that naturally goes hand in hand, like you said. This
list of tattoo artists is...
Yeah, there's over 200. So
it's amazing. People from Europe and all over the place.
Yeah,
now, this is where they're originally from, or did they come here for this?
They're flying in for it.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's cool. Like I was thinking, you know, it's not... You don't have to even be tattooed to come. It's just, like, all walks of life welcome. And you get to see all these different cultures. Like, I have, like Polynesian-style tattooing, all, like, the hand tapping and, like... You know, stuff that culturally is different. So it's cool to see.
Tiger Army, The Used, Metal School. Who else is going to be there that's playing?
Veins of Jenna, Fireball Ministry, Revolution Mother, Guanabats, Throw Rag, a bunch of bands.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Like a good time. Is there a lot of stuff that you mentioned, the other tattoo artists from around the world, a lot of stuff, techniques that they know that you don't know, that you can't do?
Totally. And you know what? I love our show because I feel like it helps like educate people as far as tattooing goes,
right.
And it's opened so many minds. But like, I think people watch the show and think, oh yeah, like you're on LA Ink, so you're the best. But there's no such thing as the best, you know. So for this season, I really push to get a lot of guest artists, you know. So mm-hmm. you're gonna see like different styles and different techniques, you know. Like Hannah, actually, her brother is like a pretty world renowned tattooer, you know. Wrote a book like back in the day for reinventing tattooing.
Cool.
So.
And you're going to have all kinds of different, what do you call them, exhibitions? Or
yeah, there's going to be some seminars for tattooers, you know, and like, you know, technical stuff, you know, like tattoo machine tuning, like how to tattoo pinups, how to draw pinups, like stuff like
Dude.
That.
We need to take a break. Kat Von D is here.
Let me just give out the info real quick, just for people who maybe just caught the end of that. The OC Fairgrounds is where it's going to be February 22nd through the 24th, which is this coming weekend.
Yep.
And tickets are available through Ticketmaster outlets. They're just $25, by the way, to see all those artists and all those bands. And the website is musink.org. And let me spell it for you. It's M-U-S-I-N-K, musink.org. It sounds like a fun time.
Yeah.
Our intern, Beer Mug, was waiting around all day
to
see
him.
He's on the road.
I miss him.
Hey, Beer Mug.
The forces against me getting back to the studio on time have never been more great than
Yeah. Listen, take your time.
That's unfortunate.
I know you love Kat, and I know you wanted to see her, but we were very hungry.
Well, you know what? I mean, I understand.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
We got really hungry, Kat, as soon as we found out that he was waiting to see you.
Oh,
all of a sudden, we were just starving. We had to have food right now.
And I hope Beer Mug's listening right now because she's rubbing her boobs. I mean, it really is something you shouldn't miss. I got to be honest.
Sorry, Mug. Have fun. Bye now.
Your calls for Kevin Amin's What to Do Nephew coming up at 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call. Get on the air on any topic. We'll give you a prize. We've got Kat Von D in the studio here, the world-famous K-Rock,
yeah.
who, by the way, just gets hotter every time she
mentions.
I don't know how she does that. Maybe it's because she's newly single. Maybe that's why she even appears hotter than she was before. One quick follow-up question about the Musink Festival, which is happening this weekend at the Orange County Fairgrounds, because I got an email from somebody who says they're talking about maybe some rain this weekend. Are your acts, your musical acts, are they rain or shine, Kat?
You know, it's rain or shine because it's indoors, so we're all good in the hood.
Great. Oh, the concerts are happening indoors?
Okay. Yeah, there's three different halls. There'll be like one for the tattooers, one for like the vendors, and then one for all the bands and seminars.
This may be a stupid question, but it seems like an obvious tie-in for tattoos and music. Has this happened someplace else before?
It's like, you know, there's a million tattoo conventions, you know, but
right.
they always have like like crappy like house bands that like... You know, and they set it up like where the sound's horrible. Like I've done a convention before where I'm tattooing and there's like sound check in my ear. It's like the worst. So, like, you know, like I teamed up with like, you know, all the guys at Golden Voice and stuff. So they're legit. They really like know how to do it. And like we got some like real bands, you know, bands that I honestly like listen to. So.
Yeah, I think, somebody like The Used are great in concert. I mean,
yeah.
for real.
And they're hilarious. I love them.
Now, since the last time we saw you, has your moment on TMZ.com blown over? Is that all done with now?
You know, I hope so. I think, I don't know, it's been really, really hard, to be honest with you. You know, like, you know, especially, like, I work with my sister and, you know, we kind of go through everything together and everything that affects me affects her and, you know, it's just really ugly and, like, you know, it's contemplating what I should do, like whether I should say this or do this, but then do I want to give them any more attention? It's
right.
just bad.
Somebody called in and told us the rumor, and we were like, not possible.
It doesn't sound like our Kat. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It just didn't seem so. We were on your side.
But you know what I thought, Kat?
You.
You know what I thought when I first saw this story breaking? For folks who didn't hear it, by the way, there was a guy who accused Kat of writing some racist stuff on a photo to him that Kat says isn't her. It was a forgery. But when I first saw the story, I thought, this is really sad because there are a lot of people who don't know who you are. And this is their first introduction to you.
Exactly.
And now they're going to think you're fill in the blank.
Yeah. And it's crazy because what I was upset about was like, it's one thing, you know, to say something, an opinion about somebody. But when you state something as a fact and it's not, you know, like. They would talk about like getting the script analyzed or analysis
or whatever.
Yeah, and then it came back a certain percentage, and I was like, that is completely incorrect. Like, you know, and people see that and like, oh well, you know, the script analysis says
must be
this.
True.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, no, like, it's the worst feeling on the planet. Like,
it's got to be so weird because you're a media consumer like everybody else, and you see all these other people on the TV shows and on the internet that are going through these crises. And then one day you wake up all of a sudden and you're in the middle of one that you kind of didn't have any way to see was coming, right?
It must
have just rocked your world.
I mean,
in a bad way.
And at the same time, too, you know, like we do like red carpet or whatever, like any kind of press, and they always ask, hey, what do you think about Britney? And I'm always like, hey, man, like I wish her the best. That's it.
Right.
Like, you know what? Like, it's none of nobody's business. Like, you don't know anybody. Like, nobody knows what happens except the people in the party, and that's it. And it gets frustrating, I think, but at the same time I feel like, hey, all this stuff, you know, it happens for a reason, and it'll be fine in the end. I think people will see, like, you know, who the culprit is.
Have there been times where, although you've enjoyed the fruits of your label, the success of your work that you've done for some time, that you have not been happy with the fame that has accompanied that for whatever reason?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, like, as a kid, I wasn't like, oh, I want to be on TV, you know?
Right.
Like, I started tattooing when I was 14, and I was just so happy that that was even a career, you know, to do something that you love. And then, you know, when I did the show, it was something more about, like, you know, it's something that I believed in and I wanted to protect and be a good representation of it. And then it blew up so crazy, you know? Nobody knew that people were going to want to watch a tattoo show, you know? To us, it's so boring because we do it every day, you know?
Right.
And it's great, you know, like, it opened up people's minds and educates them and all that good stuff. But there's a lot of responsibility with that, man. I mean, if you look at season one of my show to season two, like, me going and getting sober, like, that was like a big decision. It was like, kids watch the show, and I don't want to sound like, you know, this totally like prude lady, but like, I really do care about that stuff. So, you know, I've made some pretty crazy life changes.
It's funny, we've talked to a lot of people and we've seen a lot of surveys lately where people, their number one thing is to be famous.
What?
And I don't understand that either.
Well, you know why? Because it's glamorized, just like tattooing and just like being in a rock and roll band. It's like, oh yeah, I want to be in a rock and roll band and play. And it's like, dude, you have to go with seven dudes in a stinky van for like 2 months. Like, it's not that
cool. They don't
cool.
even think about that. Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, that there are people now who are famous for nothing.
Yeah. But you got to do it because you love it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I've always, like, I'm not a big fan of like reality TV shows and stuff, but like, at least with our show, there's no gimmick. It was just like, it's about the art, you know? And something people can relate to. So I don't feel bad about it. Like, I'm not like, hey, I'm famous because, you know, I said some crazy stuff to somebody, you know? Like,
The best part of your show is the people that come in and then brainstorm about what it is they want.
Yeah,
you
guys,
and then at the end, they're so happy with it. I mean, I love that part of the show.
Yeah, me too.
That seems really cool.
Yeah. It's interesting to me, you know?
L.A. Inc. airs Tuesday nights at 10 on TLC, and Kat told us earlier that the episode tonight is the one where they set the Guinness Book of World Records for most tattoos in 24 hours. So that is definitely one to check out. By the way, I don't know if I've ever asked you this before, but who's the number one band that people get tattooed, or musical artist that people get tattooed on?
Oh, man, I've done so many. You know, I do a lot of hard...
Plain White Tees?
Actually, you know what? They got tattooed on our show. It's funny. Okay.
Chingy?
Yeah.
I think it would be Metallica or somebody would be, I guess.
Slayer.
Slayer, yeah.
It kind of depends. Like, you know, I'll tattoo a band and then their fans will come and get tattooed. I do so many Heartograms, and which I love because I'm a big him fan, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, the minute I tattooed Carrie from Slayer, all the Slayer kids started coming in. So I think it kind of, you know, it's like Mr. Cartoon. He does like, you know, Beyonce and like G-Unit and like, you know, all those like hip hop world, and a lot of hip hop artists will go to him, you know?
And leads to other stuff.
It's like every year there's a new biggest tattoo then based on whatever's going on or whoever's getting tattoos at that time. I gotcha. And the Music Festival is happening this weekend at the OC Fairgrounds. That's in Costa Mesa. Of course, Tiger Army, The Used, Metal School, over 200 tattoo artists from around the world, tattoo seminars contest, only $25 at Ticketmaster, which sounds like a deal.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Here's what you get for being on the air with us today. You get a Family Guy video game for the Xbox system. How about that? I hear it is great, by the way.
I'm in
1-800.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm in it. I can't
understand. You do some of the voices for it?
I do.
Sounds like you're coughing. I don't understand.
I'm in the Family Guy video game.
I don't understand what you're...
Several characters. I think I play a couple rednecks and a gay dude and some other voices as well.
Oh. Well,
they knew who the gay dude was, I'll tell you that.
Your calls are now at 1-800-520-1067. You can call now.
Let's start with Christopher in Los Angeles. He's on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris, what it do, nephew? Good morning.
What it do, Kevin and Bean?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
What's going on?
I'm really upset. Now Eli Manning's going to be on the cover of Madden 09.
Right.
Yes.
That's why are you a dumb move.
Why are you upset? Because of the curse?
Yeah, the curse. He's going to have a broken leg.
But he won't know.
Okay,
it. That's the beauty.
He won't know it. That's true.
What about Vince Young being on the cover last year? He
horrible
did not have
a season.
It wasn't horrible for a
horrible
rookie,
season.
Was it?
He didn't get injured.
He didn't get injured.
He didn't get
injured.
Like
a lot
get
of arrested.
Them do.
Why couldn't they put Tony Romo on the cover?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Not
yeah,
a big enough
exactly.
Star. That's
oh,
why.
Yeah, that's it.
A lot of people don't
him
know.
Him and Jessica.
Who was
the first couple on the cover?
Who was it in the past? It was Donovan McNabb.
Donovan got hurt his season.
He got hurt, right?
Yeah.
Michael Vick.
Sean Alexander got hurt.
Look what happened
Alexander
to Vick.
Alexander got hurt.
Michael Vick got hurt.
All right.
Ray Lewis, one year, right?
But I think Ralph's right. Eli could get hurt and not know it.
That's right.
So
you know,
everything's
bone
cool.
Sticking out of his leg and still not recognize it as an injury. He'd be fine.
He is retard strong.
That's retard
true.
Strong.
He probably won't get hurt. Let's go to Jose and Downey. Hi there.
Yo. How does
Yo.
It do it to you, nephew.
How is it doing as well to you?
You, son of my
hey, man,
brother.
I wanted to see if you guys wanted to trade an HD player for a Kevin and Bean t-shirt.
HD DVD? No, thanks. Not worth
yeah,
it.
See what you've done there?
You sure? You sure? Because I just spent like $360 on
That's
one.
The problem is high def movie players for your home. There's been a giant battle between Blu-ray and HD DVD. And
Toshiba just surrendered.
It's all going Blu-ray now. Everybody with HD DVDs out.
It's all
Sorry.
Sony now.
Yeah, Universal just went online and said they're going Blu-ray also.
Yeah, it's pretty much done.
Well, everyone is
yeah.
now because the technology is going to die. But it was
over.
Paramount and Warner's, I think. There were just a few holdouts who were still trying to push the HD DVD.
How many HD DVDs do you have, Jose? Not the player, but the movies.
I have about 25.
So, that's
yeah,
funny.
I can still enjoy them. I just can't get any new ones.
That's don't,
right.
Don't you think we're just moments away, though, from somebody building a do-it-all DVD player that plays standard and HD and everything, plays all of
there,
them?
There is, but they're super expensive.
Yeah, but they'll come down. That's,
but now you don't need
get,
to,
though. Right?
I mean, now you don't need to because they're all going to be Blu-ray, so you can just go with Blu-ray.
I have a PlayStation 3, so... I
yeah, there you go.
But,
right.
but I'm still cotton to the idea of having to swap out all of my regular DVDs and buy now all Blu-rays if I get a Blu-ray player.
I don't know how that works. That's a good question. I don't know if
But I think that 10 years from now, if I can look that far into the future, I don't think we'll really be handling physical DVDs anymore at all. I think it'll all be sent to us over a wire somewhere into a computer or a TV screen.
And Jose
digitally.
Will be doing a show, and we'll be calling him and trying to unload our Blu-rays. That's what we're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, maybe so.
One of his T-shirts.
Technology does change fast, that's for
Bean's
sure. Thanks
praying for the
call.
Day that just beam it right into your head,
yep.
where he can
oh,
just
yeah.
finally take his brain out, put it in a jar, and just stop his physical living.
But you know what I'm saying. Just like with physical CDs being dead to the download, it's kind of the same thing. You know, more and more people on Netflix, for instance, aren't having the DVDs sent to their home. They're just getting them digitally on the computer right at the time. I mean, I think that's where we're headed.
I hear you,
Probably
sister.
Probably so.
Ricky in San Pedro, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, yeah, so before I get to the topic, my girlfriend of 3 years broke up with me. Couldn't be best friends with her more than I am now.
Congratulations.
That's good great. News, because most of the time breakups aren't that easy going.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. But what's up about these movies these days, you know? They suck. Spending $21 to take a date to watch Roscoe Jenkins and Jumper.
Well, yeah, I was looking at the top 10 this weekend. It is the most horrible top 10 you've ever seen
it's
in your life.
It's been a month and a half of really crappy, pretty much this year.
But I got movies like Blow and Traffic.
Well, you know, Ricky, I got good news for you. On the 29th, Semi-Pro, the new Will Ferrell comedy comes out.
Awesome.
And I had a chance to see it, and it is really freaking funny. You're going to love it. So just a couple of weeks away from a really good movie.
Hold out for 2 weeks. Thanks for the call.
By the way, you guys mock me for the films I go to see, but the ones I go to see are great. They just don't happen to be the big studio blockbusters in English. But I mean, there are really good movies out there, but you can't just go to whatever the most advertised thing is at the week and expect
That's
it to be good anymore. That's just the deal.
All right, Mr. Movie Phone, we got 30 seconds. Let's go here.
Thanks to Bob Sager for joining us. Saturday, March 8th, 7:30 at the Grove of Anaheim. Don't miss 1 vs. 100 on TV at Friday night.
We have a minute and a half. Sorry about that. Premature.
Okay, you scared me there.
Sorry.
Thanks to Bob Sager. Also appearing in Las Vegas, by the way, at the Joint Hard Rock on March 21st. If you want to go check that out, go to bobsager.com. Thanks to Kat Von D. You got all the details. Musinc.org for the festival this weekend. And I want to thank, what's his name? Kevin O'Connell for joining us, too, up for his 20th Oscar nomination this Sunday at the Academy Awards for his great sound work on Transformers.
Dude gets 20 nominations. You can't be bothered to learn his name. That's how disrespected this guy is.
He sounds like a great guy, and I hope he wins.
Tomorrow we get to talk to Gerald Pauly, who's a spiritist who talks to God and everyone in heaven. And apparently he has spoken with Marilyn Monroe about the Lindsay Lohan pictures.
Excellent.
So that's good news. We can hear from him exactly what Marilyn Monroe thinks about that.
Mm-hmm. I like those pictures.
Go find the Lindsay Lohan pictures, by the way. Go to What Would Tyler Durden Do or The Drudge Report or any number of links to get to those pictures. They're well worth seeking out if you've not yet seen them.
The New York Magazine site's got them as well if you want to go there.
Right.
Plus Kevin and Bean Ducks Night. More tickets for that tomorrow morning. And K-Rock's World Tour Destination number 7, Incubus in Beijing.
Hey.
We'll continue to qualify you for tomorrow morning on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the Foxborough Hot Tubs, also Red Hot Chili Peppers. We got Orgy, Social D, Sublime, Linkin Park, and more, all straight ahead.